to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
That doesn't mean you're ugly. Dude, we're gonna do clips of you burping.
I wanna see that movie. Listen, what are you doing? You're zooming in, you're doing something weird.
I'm listening.
Why are you looking through the peephole? You're acting like a cameraman.
Okay.
Listen.
You want to see the movie? Let's go see it.
Well, what? When is it going to be playing? Oh no! When did Spawn come out?
Who he?
I want to see that.
We'll have to go buy it on DVD. It might even be on the bus.
Huh? Look out!
It might have been on the bus.
Huh? Really?
Yeah.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
It was on the bus.
I said it might have been on the bus. I don't know.
You're
a
fucking
new
movie and stuff.
Baby, that movie, I watched it 4 months ago on DVD.
Where am I then?
Over here? You've been on tour.
I'm confused because I feel like I've been missing out.
Missing out on what?
On life.
I really don't think that that's the truth.
You think this is what I have to talk about?
Okay.
I feel like I've been missing out on life.
Like what part of life?
Life. Things going on. Like I feel like I'm behind or something. I know that sounds so weird.
It's all the partying.
Huh?
It's all the partying.
What are you talking about, all the partying?
That's why you feel that way.
What's that supposed to mean?
Would you rather go out or would you rather go watch the movie?
Huh?
Would you rather go out? If you had a choice to go out or go watch a movie, what would you want to do?
I'd go watch that movie and just drink at home. But what I'm trying to say is, do you ever feel like you're... Like, for some people, have you ever seen Back to the Future?
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible? To time, track, travel speed?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Okay, but no.
Whoa, look out! Look out!
Maybe, I think people can do that, and I think some people are ahead of us.
Maybe. But they would never tell the world. They wouldn't tell nobody. Could you?
You're a goddamn genius!
How many people would try to go back and change the... Fancy dicks you got here.
From the producers who brought you Sex Men and Sex Men 2, Sex Men United, get ready for Sex Men, The Last Stand. All your favorite erotic mutants are back and better than ever. Captain Nobutt.
Watch out, Jack. That's an exit. Not an entrance.
Strap on.
I don't know what they've told you, but bigger is better. Now hand me those D batteries.
Skin tight.
I'll give you headlines, lady. Right on your daisy.
The Punisher.
After I love you, I have to hit you.
Johnny Thick.
I don't know, guys. I don't think it's going to fit.
And their lovable animated sidekick, JoJo Binks.
I may be CGI, but I sure could use a Miller Lite.
Sex Men, The Last Stand. The time has come for those who are different to stand and fornicate wildly.
Hey, look! A Wolverine! Right in my pants!
Sex Men, The Last Stand. Rated X in color from Independent International.
A lot of the other shows were held up because of the writer's strike. Fortunately, I have never had to depend on writers. Those white cards you see flipping in front of me are part of the air conditioning.
His dependence on on cue cards became a national joke because you could see him breathing.
And Gleason was shocked into dieting by a terrible thing that happened in Florida. He fell asleep on the beach and someone painted Goodyear on his side.
One day I'm in the hall, and I assume see two men carrying a piece of cardboard that looks like a plate glass window. And two guys carrying it, it's about 10 feet long, goes by and it says, "Hello." I mean, "What's that?" They said, "Oh, it's Bob's cue card." It was as big as a door.
It was part of Bob Hope and a way of inviting the audience in with him. They always knew he had cue cards. And he made them know that he did.
Dean, who invited you to this party? Wow. Oh, cue cards. They were a great idea. I must try that sometime.
Incredible! The Bob Hope Show.
When he cast his specials, I think if you look at his specials.
Who he?
Anyway, Brenda, what do you do out there?
I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Are you really? How many children do you have?
I have two.
Isn't that nice? You see, there are some women who choose to stay while their children are maturing in front of their eyes.
Right.
Who care and want to nurture them and fondle them and help them grow up into... Not so much fun.
Regis will not be babysitting anymore.
Come here, little boy. I'm just kidding. What are we doing here? Where are we going?
Brenda.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations. This is great. I got a babysitter for you.
This is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with another California report. When I came into office, I made a promise to the people that I will make government spend more money than we have and raise property taxes. It isn't enough spending unless it is overspending. I want to thank all of you for everything that you have done to bring California bankruptcy. And now it's the time for the legislators to do what is best for California. Rack up billions of dollars in new debt. Thank you for listening. Hi, this is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with another California report. This week, I want to talk to you about sex crimes, but I am a convicted sex offender. I joined with sexual predators, teaching them to lure children into sex crimes. I'm tipping the scale of justice in favor of the violators, not the victims, period. Thank you very much for listening.
It's Don and Mike on the Pike. This Wednesday at 8 p.m., Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a breast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno-style show, Hooters and Rockville. That's how I roll.
Tonight, for the first time, we're going to show you those beautiful brand new 1957 Chevrolets. And I know you're going to enjoy the opportunity to see in 56 the 57s that you'll be paying for in 58.
It's a wonderful delivery. So clean that setup payoff.
Hey, I'm going to be on the air 8 times this year. There'll be 7 comedy specials, and we're hoping that this is one of them. I always have a good time on plane trips. I carry tranquilizer pills. Of course, some stewardesses refuse to take them, but I think that... ...celebrated his 10th anniversary on television by getting married. Did you hear about that?
Thank you!
Okay, up next, these two guys have been here for the last couple weeks. They asked me to read this. Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room. Ladies and gentlemen,
Don and Mike.
I call him like I see him, and man, there's a lot of possible backstage Bettys in the audience tonight.
I got a bowl of chocolate pudding in my underpants.
We didn't have any pudding in there, buddy.
All right, time for your starting lineup for the 15th most popular radio show in all of Rockville, Maryland. The Don and Mike Show. This man likes Diet Cherry Coke. He likes Batman, Star Trek.
And playing video games with other little kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain of the ship, Don Geronimo.
Hey, does this suit make me look fat?
No.
Your face does.
Whoa. That's not what we're about. Hey, don't confuse the art with the artist. I mean, yeah, up on stage, I'm Zeus, I'm Elvis. But back here, I'm just plain old Jack.
This next man likes to drink alcohol and used to play with crap. His old blues band. Ladies and gentlemen, the great voice impersonator and Don's right-hand man, Mike O'Bara.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotch is scotch, scotch. Here goes down. Down into my belly.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me. Start a fire in someone's kitchen. Maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off.
This next man is a well-respected Aryan scholar. He used to dress up as a clown, but he has risen to great power on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Spiewak.
Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Hold your tongue, witch.
And this man is part of a long lineage of great newsmen. Dan Rather, Walter Cronkite, Ron Burgundy. He's from the mean streets of Kansas. He likes weed and swinging. The one, the only, Buzz Burbank.
Ladies and gentlemen, could I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Last, but not least, the world's oldest phone screener. His idea of a good time is getting drunk and tape recording cicadas in the woods. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Artinger.
Let's say the average person uses 10% of their brain. How much do you use? 1.5%. The rest is clogged with malted hops and bong resin.
I've been up all night. Jeez.
Ladies and gentlemen, put on your helmet, strap on your seatbelt, because here comes Don and Mike.
Wow.
We have ignition and liftoff.
Father in heaven, please let tonight's show go well. Please make them like it.
Thank you to loyal listener Mike Sanoff.
Wow. Mike Sanoff, that I just picture a guy in his bedroom doing that.
J.H.C.
Wow.
Mike Show. How you doing out there?
It seems like everybody's getting on your case when you see
Hello! Girlfriend.
Oh, look out! I used to have just about all the time. But I found a way to get out of it.
Tell me about it.
Hello.
Let me tell you about it.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Start this day. It's a Brownsville station.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Pardon my dumb DJ-ism.
Yeah.
I am sure that it was over the heads of most people. Whatever I said, what did I just say about Brownsville station? You like them? No, I said something like a selection from where the latest were.
From Brownsville Station.
Yeah. It's at some Brownsville Station. This is the.
other catalog of Brownsville Station known to man.
There was a cover of this particular song done by Dee Snider.
Right, but, yeah. But that don't count.
No. That, this is the definitive smoking in the boys' room.
Right, so I hand you with this, Jack. Oh, we got some... We've got, that's what I said.
Oh, okay, so you're criticizing when DJ said, here's some Rolling Stones.
And I did it myself. Oh, no, in that case, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a catalog of songs by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, because you're talking about it being a one-hit wonder.
Like, I'm coming on going like, hey, everybody, here's some Brownsville Station to start the show on a good-looking friggin' Monday. You know, please, come on. Go, dumb, dumb, dumb.
Like you play a lot of Brownsville Station.
Yeah,
that would be an answer.
Right. Yeah,
like saying, here's some taco.
Exactly, fine.
Rob helped me with that one, because I knew what you meant. I just didn't know how to give you the analogy.
That's the kind of crap that drives me nuts. Well, here we are doing it now. And we sell the Don and Mike show. And we do the whole
bring him in, didn't we? Here's some Bovice.
Ta-da!
Did you ever hear of...
He's mentally retarded.
How's your solid chocolate weekend?
You'll find out.
And then we can go to the bridge?
Right.
Blow it up?
Yay!
Blow it up real good?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. French. And all the ships at sea. The Emmy Award winners, Don Geronimo, and it's Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Rob. And this is how I just tell everybody. Don and Mike show. New episode on this Monday. 08-2806.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. And here's your phone numbers, everybody. From anywhere in North America, 877-365-3636. That's from America and from Canada. You can hear us on the Internet if you go to our website, donandmikewebsite.com. Right. Click on Listen Live. You can also send us email. We ignore the vast majority of it.
Oh, yes, we do.
But send it anyway.
Norman.
Send it to Bleeding Johnny. Send it to Anal Johnny. He's back there recovering from his wounds. We'll hear about them later in the show.
Yeah, who knows what happened to that lad over the weekend. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I've already heard the first take. Nothing really happened.
I didn't even ask.
In Buzz's swinging weekend.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Nothing exciting?
Well, at least that's the story that they're all throwing out.
You
there.
Know, they're lying.
You can email us, though. And sometimes he brings in your stuff, and sometimes he answers your stuff. And look at him back there.
Well, what is the T-shirt du jour?
He seems to be healthy. What is his T-shirt?
Yeah, I'm looking at Buzz's.
And Mike.
They may have told you nothing happened on their weekend. I know that when I first came into the building today, I might have seen John just quietly crying.
Stick to the story.
Quietly crying to himself.
Stick to the story.
Now, I know
weeping,
yes. And I know a lot of you out there want to hear about what happened on Buzz's weekend, but I guarantee you that really, I mean, we will pepper him with questions.
He'll evade us.
I've got so much that I have to get through. This
right.
This was, for me, such a weekend.
You weren't raped, were you?
Define
the word.
Define the word, right.
I think we're all going to have to do that today.
Define the word, right.
Yes, we are.
Oh, first order of business, though. I got to tell you that our Reno-style show is just two nights from now.
Hey.
Wednesday night, we'd love to meet you. We're going to be out on Rockville Pike in Rockville, Maryland.
Right.
At Hooters. We'll be there from 8 until 10. We'll do the whole thing. We come up on stage for a while. And we'll bring everybody up, and then we just we hang around. And as I mentioned before, we end up smelling like you.
Yes,
by the end of the night.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much close quarters entertainment. That's what I like to call it too. Close quarters entertainment.
That's CQE. Yes. Like hand magic.
It's hand puppets.
It's like when you would go to the Magic Castle.
Sleight of hand.
For those who have ever had the pleasure of living in Hollywood, California, as I did,
yes.
You would go to the Magic Castle. Thank you, Rob. where you would eat really bad food, but right. Card tricks for you. And
right.
They were really kick-ass card tricks.
Yeah, and he hid the food, didn't he?
Some guy in a monkey suit, you'd be there eating, you know, clawing through some steak that was like somebody's shoe.
Wasn't it really some old building? Was it an old, like, residence or something?
Yes, it was like an old, like, tower, almost,
right.
With a winding spiral staircase.
Magic tower.
Isn't it tough to get in? I mean, you have to, like, know somebody to get in,
yeah,
right?
No, I'm talking, you know, way back, you know, 1981. Yeah, it was hard to get into.
Right.
Probably not now.
You bet.
Now it's hard to get out of.
I don't think so. So we'll see you Wednesday night. Information's on our website. Please come on out. We'd love to meet you. Also, if you go to YouTube.com, I'm proud to tell you that there is at least one first entry in our TV campaign contest.
And it's wonderful.
Go to YouTube and click in Don and Mike commercial.
All right.
That's what you want to search for.
Yeah, and it's a kind of a Jackass-themed one that's on there now. It's very nice.
But it's there, and it's the start of something. And as we've mentioned, what we're going to do is get the best commercial that shows up on YouTube, and we're going to buy the time and actually... So make sure, please, that you're promoting our station here in D.C., our flagship station, 106.7 WJFK. Okay, the weekend. Wow. Jack, I don't often tell you that I got a lot of stuff. I mean, I still a lot of times I say I've got a lot of stuff, but this is new stuff. This is
you got out of town this week.
This is fresh stuff. Well, yeah. Well, it started on Friday. Let me start by saying again, happy birthday to my girlfriend.
Yes.
Now, it had been my understanding in the 8 months that I have known her that her birthday was on the 26th. Of August.
Right.
I knew this. This is why I had planned the trip up to Hershey. Do I have stories for you about Hershey, Pennsylvania?
Nice. I love it.
About going to Hershey Park.
The sweetest place on earth.
Oh, my God. If you like the smell of rotten diapers. Yes. Because really, that was the defining smell. It was either chocolate or rotten diapers. It was just it was a mungy day.
Yeah, not exactly a low humidity weekend.
And there's kids. There are way too many kids there. You know, why would kids go to a place with an amusement park?
What's up? Well, why would kids go to a place where they make candy and they have an amusement park?
That's ridiculous. What is the point of that?
You're sorry for Vanka.
Okay,
so the customer fudge and fudge.
So let me just set this up for you. So, it is my understanding that it is her birthday on Saturday. This has not been any secret.
This is what date again?
The 26th.
The 26th.
The 26th. So on Friday, the 25th, let me just run you very quickly through my day with my girlfriend as far as it relates to the girlfriend. Woke up, did my stuff on the treadmill. Hey, my weight is down to 211.
Hey. All right, and how much more do you have to go?
11 more pounds.
Yeah. All right.
So anyway, I do my crap on the treadmill, and I call her like I do most mornings to check in. And I say, hi, and she says, hi. And I say, I'm kind of busy today. And she says, I'm kind of busy today. And I said, okay, well, I tell you what, since we're going out of town for your birthday on Saturday, tonight, meaning Friday night, why don't you just come on over? We'll watch the Steelers in high def. I'll cook a steak.
She loves the Steelers.
Yeah, and then we can just get up on Saturday very early, dump the dogs, up and do this on Saturday morning. So I said, come on over on Friday night. Again, she says nothing. She says, okay.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, I'll talk to you later. And she says, okay, all right, bye-bye, have a good day. Show continues. It's now Friday afternoon. At some point during a break, late in the show, maybe you guys might have heard me on the phone with her during a break. I called her up and I said, hey, listen, I just realized tonight I'm totally screwed with food. I said, I've not gone to the grocery store and the steaks that I had, I've eaten and...
I have nothing.
You know, I mean, we're going to have to get takeout or you're going to have to pick something up.
Right.
And she said, well, actually, I've already stopped and picked up stuff for you to make dinner, for you to make, like, steak. And I said... it's Friday, and I'm not into it. I said,
tired.
But just, let me just pick something up.
Yeah. Right.
And she said, okay, that's fine. And I thought,
throw away the other food. Throw it away.
It'll keep it in the refrigerator.
This is the thought. And she agreed. I said, we'll keep it until Sunday, until we get back from the trip, and we'll have a cookout on Sunday.
Very good.
She said, okay, that's fine. What do you want? And I said, whatever. So we order a little takeout, and she comes over, and everything is fine. And we're watching the game, and we got to get up early in the morning. And so it's about 10:30, and we're in bed, not doing nothing, just getting ready to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I better call my kids and tell them good night. Leave the voicemail for Bart.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, get my daughter on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
She says, what are you doing? And I say, well, I'm getting ready for tomorrow for the big day.
Mm-hmm.
Taking Janet up to Hershey, PA for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow for her birthday. And then it was at that point, 10:35, she said to me, Janet, who's laying in bed next to me, looks at me and says, it's my birthday. And I went, Andy, I got to call you back. Really? I got to call you back. So I hang up the phone.
Have the pills kicked in yet?
I hang up the phone, and I said, whoa, slow down. Today's your birthday. She said, yes. I said, you must think I am the biggest dick in the world. She said, no, I thought that you had a big surprise for me. I said, well, at what point did you realize that there wasn't a surprise? She said, well, probably when you said that you didn't feel like even cooking out, even though I went to get the steaks, and you just said that we could either, yeah, I could pick something up, or we could have something ordered in.
Dear. So as she was anticipating you doing something on her special day, which you had obviously missed by 24 hours.
I don't know if it was that she had anticipated it, and I said to her, why didn't you call me on? I don't mean literally pick up the phone, but if I'm chatting with you, say, you know, hey, dude, this is my birthday. If it's like the third time during the day that we've spoken, and I've not at least had the common courtesy to
get a little free pass there.
She wasn't. I said, you must think I'm a tremendous. I said, your birthday's tomorrow.
She should have probably gotten a clue. Friday morning when you called her the first time and didn't say happy birthday.
Nope,
right.
she didn't say nothing. So then she said...
I mean, you in your heart of hearts assumed that it was Saturday.
Absolutely. And then she said, well, in your office, you have the 25th circle.
Hmm.
And I said, yes, I do. That's because Rob screwed up our vacation schedule. Sorry about that, Vaughn.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
It was one of those behind-the-scenes messes.
Right.
I said, you know, and originally... that he had us being on vacation this week. This is not a week we take for vacation. We always work this week. I said, so that's why I had circled that day to make sure that our schedule. I said that it really had, and you know, again, wrong thing to say.
It had
nothing to do with your.
Oh, I just assumed it was the 26th, and that was circled. I did
with
circle
your birthday
it.
At all.
I was going to remember it and memorize it. And
so anyway, you know, I just said to her. Well, you know, again, I would have called me on it. You know, I said, I feel like a gigantic dickwad that all day long, and keep in mind, she comes over on Friday night. I don't treat her like it's anything special because I think her birthday's the next day.
Just another day.
Usually on Friday night, she comes over, and she's got, like, her bag to go to Hershey's, and all.
Like it's their birthday.
Yes,
a horrible, scary, dangerous birthday.
With a horrible poison cake.
With fear around every corner.
So that was the beginning of it. I she was nice enough. She didn't think it was a big deal, but you know. And then I, you know.
So she cut. What she did was she covered up her disappointment. That's what she did.
You know, and I said to her, you know, just for future reference, you know, let me know.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you know, I will make sure you remember now. Duh, okay.
She will. Yeah, but you know the rules with that game. Let me know does not apply.
Yeah.
Let me know doesn't apply at all. You got to memorize it.
So anyway, so just say it. So now it's Saturday morning, and I've said all along, you know, Saturday is officially your birthday. So she's going along with this now, where we get up on Saturday.
It's like when they move a holiday.
Monday holiday.
Yeah. It's like when they move a holiday to
Saturday
in the observant on
that. Right. We take the dogs to the place, and
did you wake up and get the ice cream cake out or something like that?
Bungee the whale.
Well, you had a big thing planned, right?
Yes, we were going to go to.
Right. You still have the big thing planned.
Yes, we got the big thing planned. So we are leaving. We drop off the dogs. We are on the way out of town. We're leaving, and I stop to get gas right in my neighborhood, and she says, I'm going to go to the coffee place Starbucks, and I'm going to go to the ATM. We're going to multitask. I'm like, now we're cooking with all eight. Here we go. And as I'm filling up the vehicle, there's cheerleaders for whatever high school it is, and they're washing cars in the parking lot for donations.
Very common.
And the very uptight socialite Northern Virginia mother wearing her goddamn Ralph Lauren visor, you know, that goddamn
lesbian hat,
you know, that thing that was popular like 3 years ago on Sex and the City,
right?
Okay, so she's just she's walking around in her polo shirt.
Is she supervising the car wash?
Yes, and it's obvious that she's a hag who has lost her looks, and what she's done is she's in incredible shape. But unfortunately, there's not a machine that can fix your face.
No, not yet.
So she has big sunglasses. She has real tight, like, runner's legs.
Yeah.
And obviously, she works on the biceps, but, like, she's just flat as a board, and the face is just like big and long. Looks like Oliver Hardy.
Stan Laurel, right. Gravity is taking its toll.
Right. And she just and she's got her hair coming through, the ponytail's coming through, back of the baseball hat.
Leathery, a little leathery.
Yeah, absolutely. And she comes up, and I'm filling up, and she says, "Can I interest you in a car wash to help out Langley High School?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, very politely, I was in quite the fine mood, I said, "No thanks, I'm in kind of a rush, it's my girlfriend's birthday, and as you can see, my car is pretty immaculate. I just had it washed."
As a whistle.
"Thanks very much." She said, "Okay." And she walked away, and then she said, "How would you like to buy a sticker for your car?" And I said, "Excuse me?" And she held up a sticker. It was about, how big is that, Mike? I mean, that's a big...
About 4 inches.
You know how you got the big round stickers that have, like, right, initials in the middle?
Right.
You know, that say whatever?
Yeah, they're usually appropriate for parents that have maybe a student at the school.
Right, so it's real big, and it says LHS. It's gigantic, and it's green. And she says, "It's only $2. And I said, "Lady, why would I buy this?" I said, "I don't have a kid that goes to the school."
Yeah.
She said, "Well, you're supporting the community." And I said, "I'm supporting the community through my tax dollars." I said, "No thank you on the car wash, and really... no thank you on the wonderful sticker." And she said, "You don't have to take a tone with me." And I said, "Honey, I'm not taking a tone with you." And then she said,
"Honey,
excuse me?" And I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Did you call me honey?" It was a great start to the weekend.
You call a lot of women honey.
It was right at that moment, and I meant it that way.
Uh-huh.
Right at that moment that the thing went click.
Most recently, you called the Playboy Playmate honey.
The tank was full, and it just got in the car.
Boy, was it.
And
she ran over her.
She just sat there looking at me. You know, again, like, and as I couldn't help myself, as I pulled away, she was looking at me, and I said, "What are you looking at?" So I get to the other side of the road where the coffee place is and where the bank is, and there's my girlfriend. And meanwhile, she says, "What's going on with you and that lesbian woman?"
Perhaps.
I said, "No, it's nothing. Let's go to Hershey Park.
Right.
Let's go get you this milk thing. Let's have this chocolate milk thing.
Yeah,
This body wrap.
Let's get your bath in the chocolate shake.
Let's make this thing happen." So we're on the way, and she's made this trip a couple of times before, and she points out a town to me as we are. We spent a lot of time together this weekend.
Yes.
This is important to note.
A lot of car time.
Late in the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Yes. There's a lot of together time. We were together in the car on Saturday morning. And
just the longest continual period of time you've spent together?
That would be affirmative.
It's a definite step in the right direction.
So she says to me as we cross the Maryland-Pennsylvania line, she says, "Are you familiar with Taneytown?
Tawnytown.
Tawnytown.
Is it Tawnytown?
Yeah.
And I think it's Tawnytown."
I said, "No, I'm not." And she said, "Oh, I used to have territory up there when I was a salesperson." And she said, "It's huge KKK country."
"Oh, is it really?"
And I said, "Well, you're kidding. Well, let's take the exit." So,
do a little sociological study on your way up to Hershey.
So we took the exit. And gosh darn it, if we weren't driving down the road less than 1/2 mile, and there was a big sign out for everyone to see, proudly serving KKK members. Now,
I
thought that this was maybe an anomaly, right?
Right.
We drove around and didn't see anything else.
Uh-huh. Good.
We got back on.
Like what, at a business?
A restaurant or something?
Yeah, at a business.
Like a... proudly serving. It said that on the sign?
It was a strip mall that was in order.
Mm-hmm.
Booze. Some type of literature.
Right.
Not adult literature.
Right.
And then a Christian Bible study. All of it in the same little... So as we were driving away from this, and we got back on Route 15.
Right.
She said to me, "You've not seen anything. Look at the houses on the left. These are houses that you can see from this highway."
All right.
And they have, in the front yard, big-ass Confederate flags.
On my recent little journey up to Gettysburg, I did see a few of those. The The Confederate flag is displayed quite a bit, quite liberally up in that.
But I'm not talking about like the ones that you normally have. I'm talking about like.
What do you mean that I normally have?
No. Or anybody has.
Normally see.
Or flags. I'm talking about like the type of flag that car dealerships have.
Yeah.
Where people have them, and as you would drive along, you would see trees,
right.
Billboard, and
right.
All of a sudden, like it was an official flag, the Confederate flag.
Yeah, there are a few of them up there.
Yeah.
So
it's a little scary.
So of course, I think I should call Rob. Right.
Yeah, of course.
Pick up the phone. I know. He's doing nothing except another one of his fantastic paid appearances.
Gonna want to know.
So I say to him right away, have you ever heard of this town in Pennsylvania? I said, my God, we're driving through this town, and we're looking at signs for the KKK, and they've
That's where I vacation.
And they've got Confederate flags, I mean, everywhere, Rob. I said, and it's not, they're not like like NASCAR redneck fans. These people really believe it.
It's kind of weird. It's very strange.
Here's the shock.
What?
He was familiar with the community.
I am.
Right.
Yeah.
He even knew the spot on the road. He said, what's the name of the place?
Paul's Pancake Barn.
He said, are you anywhere near Paul's Pancake Barn?
I used to make that 15 trip quite a bit.
Yeah, you went up to the University of Pennsylvania, right?
There, and also I had a DJ gig up there in Harrisburg. And also, I was able to remind Don, one time we sent Nick Joe up, a former intern for... Punxsutawney for the Groundhog Day,
right?
And he was approached. And
the KKK came on to him.
Yeah,
that
gave
day.
Him a business
card. Oh, that's
card.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah, and that sort of freaked him out.
And it's all in that little like Maryland, Pennsylvania line.
That
area.
Sort of corridor. I don't know why the KKK would have spotted him. You know, an Asian gentleman in a rice paddy hat.
It was weird.
Wow.
It was weird.
Well, the weirdest thing of all is the sign.
I imagine
that would blow me away.
I imagine someday I'd love to send like Robert the Mailman there. With a tape recorder,
yeah,
and just you know, give him a big like CBS News flag
and
on that thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, see what happens.
Maybe with escorts, he might need probably not.
No, so, I don't think so. Yeah. All right.
So we make it up there. Now we are finally at the promised land.
Sweetest place on earth.
That's right. And now the gal pals treatments are not supposed to begin until 12:30. We get there about 12 noon.
Oh, so you're on a nice tight schedule.
Now keep in mind, we're not staying at the Hershey Hotel. We're staying at the Hershey Lodge.
The Lodge.
Which is right next to Impossible Street to find. we spent over 40 minutes driving around. You're on West Chocolate Avenue.
Right.
You know, at Reese's Peanut Butter Drive.
Well, it's not all like... in one spot.
No,
and that's the first thing you know about Hershey. It's like quite
out.
Spread out. It's not like you've got your theme park and everything all in the hotel. It's all like all in different places.
So, yeah, this place we were staying was 5.3 miles away from the actual park, although it's part of Hershey Park. We finally find it. It's like I think about 10 till noon.
Right.
And we walk inside, and immediately, like I said, the first thing you smell is just diapers. Because there's nothing but moms and dads and kids in this place. It is freaking wall-to-wall 3-year-olds who are out of control.
Yeah. Now, did you stay in the lodge because you couldn't get into the hotel?
In the lodge on a recommendation because a good friend of mine, Carol, who you know, said if you want hooch, if you want room service, if you want, like, not the real Hershey experience, stay at the lodge because it has all of the adult amenities
that
you want. So we stayed at the lodge. The problem is... that the adults who were also there, like, as opposed to other parts of Hershey Park, there are 3 bars in the Hershey Lodge that open at 11 a.m.
Oh, okay. And, so the lodge had the most booze.
And stay open until 2 a.m.
Okay.
Conversely, it's also with the parents who just wanted to, like, drop the kids off at the indoor pool and just go to the bar and get bombed.
Right.
So we walk into this place just to check in. We walk in, and it's like, I go, oh, God, that smell, the smell of children. And
the smell of children.
One of the people comes up and says, can I help you? And I suggest checking in. And they say, 4 p.m. I said, oh, can you cut a brother some slack?
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend's birthday, we're here with all the bags. Can you at least take the bags? And they said, we have no space. It's very busy, a busy time of year. See you at 4 o'clock. So I go, okay.
Man, I know that.
Go back to the car. Put all the bags back in the car.
Mm-hmm. I hate that, but it's the way it is.
Drive her over to the spa, where they tell me that it's going to be 3.5 hours for her to get all this crap done.
Wow.
Now, my choices at this point are, there's no hotel for me to go to.
Right.
I would love to play golf up there. Unfortunately, it's 67 degrees, mm-hmm. and it's raining. It's really, the weather really sucks.
Yeah.
I got nothing to do. Janet said, well, you could either go to a bar, but, like, I don't want you to show up, you know, 3 hours from now drunk. Or you could sit in the lobby and, like, read a newspaper. She said, or this is really probably not up your alley, but you've met my brother. He lives in Harrisburg. It's only 15 minutes away. You could go to his house. He's got a TV. And in a moment...
Wow, these are your options?
In a moment of... Mike,
what are you going to do?
I chose the brother.
Right. You chose the brother?
I chose the brother. Because
you amaze me.
Well, I got the vibe.
You know, you're so different than I am.
I got the vibe.
You know, I always get the one on Mr. Gregarious and stuff like that. I admire the fact that this is this a brother you've met before or haven't met before?
Met him one time.
Oh, good. Okay, you met him one time. All right, then it's different. All right.
Met him one time, very briefly.
Just
brief. And really my options are, because as I'm walking around this, the Hershey Hotel,
yeah.
you know, where everything is so hoity-toity, yet you got, like, guys walking around with their nuts hanging out.
And what are you, like, 20 minutes outside of Harrisburg?
Yeah, in the spa, really, guys are walking around. Men who are there to have this stuff done that my girlfriend had done are walking around. And she told me that when she was, like, in the aroma room, there'd be guys there, wives there, and the guys would just open up their legs and, like, their nuts are hanging out. just in front of everybody.
You know, there's a type of guy that does that spa thing, and I am not one of them.
And there were guys... There were guys that were walking around the lobby of the hotel wearing just these flimsy spa robes. And I know they got no underpants on underneath.
Right.
No nothing underneath. They got their chocolate flip-flops. And they're like,
their Hershey candy bar colored flip-flops.
Like, how am I going to spend 3 hours here? And then Janet said, well, you know, even though it's raining, you could go to the amusement park. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. Go to an amusement park by myself on Saturday at 12 noon in the rain.
Sure.
That's fun.
You want to talk about the smell of diapers.
But you know what? I'll take your brother up on his wonderful suggestion. So, I get the directions. I get off West Chocolate Avenue. Go to Harrisburg. I find this cat's house. Nice house. Nice guy. Okay, I should break. I just tell you. Just two words that I will say.
All right.
Shrunken head.
Shrunken head.
Shrunken head. Well, shrunken head.
We're not talking about the brother, are we?
Those are three words. Shrunken head, Jack.
Shrunken head.
Yeah.
I got 20 things going through my mind. He's a psychiatrist?
My shrunken head.
Beetlejuice?
Shrunken head.
That's all he's going to give us, I think.
Shrunken head. You just got away through the break.
Wow.
Just got away.
Don't look at me.
So he's some sort of witch doctor. You were poisoned.
Shrunken head.
Shrunken head.
Shrunken head.
Was there a murder?
I had a very, very memorable 2.5 hours in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Sitting on this cat's back porch.
Your head looks the same.
Drinking some of his homemade wine while watching a baseball game on TV.
Wow.
And then, of course, you know, shrunken head.
I can't wait to hear
it. Okay, be right back.
Yeah.
Because really, I've got so much more. Just, my God, too much weekend. And then Buzz, who, as you may have heard on the news, unfortunately, has been charged by John Norman.
With rape.
Rape is a harsh word.
I don't care. That's what I'm standing by my story. Settle out of court. And who would have thought that it was John Norman who would be attacked?
And by
the ladies' man. You believed it all along?
I told Rob of it.
John is a tease.
Who is it that Buzz would have thought that his whole thing was the Duke lacrosse team?
Yeah.
That's his whole big come on.
I know.
Buzz is wearing his Duke lacrosse uniform.
I thought it was timely. I thought people would dig it. You know, as soon as he told John to put on the nylon shorts, knew there was trouble.
And when Buzz says Duke, he means Duke.
Buzz is there for a corner kick.
You know, there's so many unanswered questions as we go to this break. My head is spinning.
Well,
my head is spinning more than it spent. Spinning this weekend.
All of the answers lie ahead.
Part of that stuff with Buzz was made up.
Incidentally, I don't have any weekend because that was my weekend.
What?
My head was spinning.
Oh,
wow.
Friday morning.
I'll drink to that.
I'm sorry, Saturday morning and Sunday morning. Both days.
Exorcism?
That's much happened. Really, nothing much to it.
Hey, Jeff.
Open mouth, insert booze.
High
period. Totally high functioning. And Sunday to dry out, come back in here. Slay the Dragon.
Here we go.
That's right. But I am still curious about Shrunken Heads. You can't offer any kind of... Well, you said what you did.
We'll just hit a break here and we'll come right back.
Shrunken Heads.
Shrunken Heads.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello? Anybody here? I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC. Oh, God. Okay, now what you think. Welcome to another edition of To Catch a Predator. I'm looking for the Emmys. I'm hosting.
Hosting? That's what you're called.
Yeah, it's my second time.
So you've done this before?
Yeah. No, I did it one time, and I liked it, and I thought I should do it again.
Of all the Predators I've met, this guy, screen name Conebone 69, is by far the creepiest.
This is kind of... You think it's... Very easy to explain.
Explain it then.
Okay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oscar loves the Don and Mike Show.
Little Conan O'Brien last night for the Emmys for years.
Now, what I've given Rob is we've gotten two of the same copies of our fantasy football magazines, and then I've taken, like, two other ones because there weren't double copies of those, so we both have one different one. So that'll mean one of us will have the advantage, depending on the quality of the magazine.
Very soon I will know how to build and manage a fantasy champion.
It's amazing. It's truly amazing now that you go into a bookstore. When it used to be, you'd find one of these things, and now everybody's
They're
got
everywhere.
It.
Okay, draft Wednesday.
Right.
Let me bring you up to speed about the weekend.
Yes.
So he's right up to the head.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave my girlfriend at the spa for practically 3 hours. She says, why don't you go to my brother's house? At the very worst, it's like a 20-minute drive each way.
Right.
Yeah, they'll probably have lunch for you. If there's a game on, he'll have the game on.
Now, this has been something that has obviously been suggested. It's out there that this is an option for you, right?
She just threw it out there. She called him up and she said, hey, we're here and my boyfriend's got nothing to do.
And you said, yeah, you know what? Why not? I'll do it.
Because I had no other options. I mean,
all your options did suck.
There was not even a movie.
Sitting and reading a newspaper in, like, the lobby for 3 hours.
The other option was going to a movie by myself.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't think so. I thought,
driving all the way to Pennsylvania to go to a movie.
Yeah. And even though they have great, great outlets at Hershey.
Yes, great shopping.
No, thank you.
Right.
Okay.
So I got in the car and I drive to Harrisburg and I find the guy's house. And it's a nice place. And Dan, he's a nice guy. And I've only met him one time briefly for... less than 10 minutes in a social situation, so I'm a little awkward coming in, and he couldn't be nicer, and had some guy that does all, he's a very creative guy, makes homemade wine, so wanted like to give me a glass of his homemade wine. And
is there a family around this, or is it just the brother?
Oh, no, it's the brother and the wife and kids.
Oh, okay.
And I mean...
So it's a whole family deal.
It's a family. I mean, without getting into tremendous detail about this guy's life, he runs... some type of resort up in the Poconos area,
okay.
and in the off season he does other stuff, they're normal. The kids are normal.
Okay,
he's normal. She's normal, except for what I'm going to tell you about in a second. So he's showing me his big wine. He makes homemade wine, as a lot of people do, and then they offer me some crackers and chips, and that's nice. And I'm sitting out on the porch.
Kind of neat, homemade wine, if it's good.
Yeah, because, as I mentioned, it's cold. For whatever reason, in Pennsylvania on Saturday,
chilly.
Temperature was in the 60s, and it was raining, so we're sitting out on the porch. It was just, like, lightly drizzling, and the kids were playing in the backyard, and he's got an outdoor TV there and a nice stand. So it was a really nice setting, and... She said, the wife, Kim, she says, you know what, honey? You should really show him. And he said, ooh, not outside. Not outside.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what the hell is this?
What's going on?
And he says, okay, I tell you what. Come on inside. And I'm going, oh, okay. Walking through the house that I've never been in before. With
all of a sudden, you're handcuffed.
I go down to his work room. Some might refer to it as a dungeon.
Real sex 32.
He's got,
dungeon.
He's got a big, gigantic work area downstairs that would make you envious, Buzz.
Tool, a lot of tools.
Yeah, I mean...
Well organized?
Lot, yeah, absolutely.
Is there a well down there?
No. So we get down there, and I'm still thinking things are cool, right?
Uh-huh.
He says, stay right there. I'll be right back.
The lights are turned out.
Now, listen, this is just weird, because he's a normal guy.
Right.
He says...
And it's a normal workshop.
Yes.
So it seems.
Everything about this guy...
Is your fear, sensor going off?
No!
Oh, you're still calm. You're still okay.
Hey, Rob. Listen, Jackie. Hey, Jackie. Jackie. Could you stop writing for 1 second? I realize that you have side-splitting freaking material. What was that one-liner that you're petting?
I said that's the workshop where he makes the wax figures.
Okay. Please, respectfully, put a sock in it. I'm trying to get to the freaking point of this thing.
Okay. So you're in his workshop.
Thank you, Mike.
Right. You're in his workshop.
Thank you.
And you're waiting for him. He goes away?
Right. He says, stay right there. I got something you got to see. I have no idea. He comes out, and it is what appears to be a big shoebox. And he says, are you ready? And I say, I guess so. Puts it in the middle of the workshop table, turns on the overhead light, pulls the thing, the bulb goes on, says, have you ever seen, he opens up the box, a real shrunken head? I just bought it. I'm so proud of it. He pulls this thing out of this box with strings on the end of it, and it is, I said, what is this, a joke?
Yeah.
I said, that this looks, what the, this,
like
I said,
plastic.
This is what, I really don't get this guy now at this point, right? I'm like, why'd you bring me downstairs to show me a novelty gift, right? and he said, well, do you want to touch it? And I said, no, not really. And he said, does it creep you out? It creeps a lot of people out. I said, well, I said, well, first off, it looks fake.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
I said, it looks fake. He said, oh, no, I guarantee you it's real. And I said, well, how do you know?
Yeah, I'd ask that, too, and I'm not sure I'd like the answer.
And he said, first, if you like, you should smell it.
Oh!
And I said, no. And he said, how would you like to touch it? And I said, no. And he very carefully... got out his pair of tweezers. He was holding the thing like a marionette. I got out these tweezers to move the hair and said, you see, I've done research on this. And if you make a fake shrunken head, it is impossible to replicate the shape of the human ear since no two human ears are the same and you can't make... And look at this. This is not a monkey head. This is not a fake plastic head. This is an actual shrunken head. Those are human ears. And he's saying to me, look at the ears. And then he's got like the glasses, like the jewelers have, with the magnification things. And he says, you really need to put these on and look at the ears and realize it's a human head. So I say, okay.
All right, and now at this point, are you fighting the urge to maybe run for your life?
Yeah, so now I've got these big spectacles on. And I'm looking in, almost like looking at a microscope.
Right.
I'm looking at this, and I'm noticing that there is a definite odor. Now, it could have just been the odor of this thing being stored for God knows how long.
Right. Did you touch it?
I did not. So I said, why do you have it? He said,
good question.
He said, I've been looking my whole life for one.
Wow.
He said, I almost found one in Vancouver about 3 years ago. And then... This is where the guy is weird, because he says, not that this whole thing isn't weird.
Right.
Because he's standing there with a goddamn, what he says is a real shrunken head. And he's showing it to me. He says, there was one that recently auctioned at Sotheby's for over $10,000, if you get these things. He said, I had to make 5 different trips to talk the guy down on the price on this. And now at this point, the wife, now the wife comes downstairs.
How big is the head?
The size of an orange?
About the size of a grapefruit.
Okay.
I take it back. Halfway between orange and grapefruit.
Uh-huh. So what you've seen in, like, magazines, if there is such a thing.
There is such a thing.
So now,
there is.
Mm-hmm. So now Kim, the other half, she comes downstairs, and she says, oh, I see that you see a shrunken head. And I said, yeah. And she said, what do you think? And I said, Gee, you know, I really don't know. She said, did he tell you about what he wants to do?
I think the old clock on the wall is saying it's time to go.
No, I'm looking at my watch by this point. Trust me, Mike. And then she says, because she needs a little backup on this, she says, go on, tell him what you want to do. Oh, and he said, no. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. She said, tell him. He said, because he's a graphic designer. He works in design. He's worked in architecture. He says, what I want to do is build a large plexiglass tower about 4 or 5 feet high, and actually, because for the head to be at its optimum, it should be hanging. And what I want is this big thing. I want to put it on display in our living room. And she said, I will not allow you to have a shrunken head in our living room.
Well, I appreciate her voice of reason.
Good for you. He said, first off, I don't want to put it on a mantle. I want to put it in the corner. Second, the kids love it.
Oh, sure, my God. That is, I mean, and this sounds like you're having like a normal afternoon visit, and then it enters into the land of the weird.
I mean, we are sitting there, and we're on this back porch, and it's like, do you like the
had home? You had a couple of glasses of homemade wine prior to this?
I had a half a glass of wine.
All of a sudden, the room starts getting all wobbly.
Yeah, I'm not a big boozer.
No, what I'm saying is, with wine, who knows what's in his secret wine?
No.
How he got the shrunken head. No.
It could not have been more normal.
Right.
And then at that point, I said, well.
Did he change at all? Was he just a little?
No,
just showing you like he's showing you his
same
coin collection.
Same thing. I mean, while he's showing me this head and like telling me touch it, and he's looked for it his whole life, and how he had, in the same breath, he's asking me how Janet's doing. He's talking about their mom who just had knee surgery. He's telling me about a job he's got. He's telling me about a ski lodge that he's planning on opening in November. I mean, he's having all of these very lucid, normal, rational thoughts.
But meanwhile, there's a shrunken head sitting there.
That he's looking at longingly. And actually, at one point, I don't want to piss Janet off. It's stroking the hair.
Sure.
God, stroking the hair. He says, I've been looking
Is he a student of other, like, primitive cultures?
I guess.
Okay.
They didn't really talk about it. Didn't really ask, Mike.
Wants to put it in his living room.
Didn't really ask.
Now, so. You said he offered for you to smell it, and you declined, but you said there was an odor. Mm. Can you describe the odor? Was it like a meat odor?
Smell like the hotel lobby?
Smell like chocolate? It
smell of old.
Old musty. Did he tell you where he got it from? Did he tell you what the country he got? I mean, where did it originate?
He got it in America. I don't
He know. Got it in America, but did it come from some, like,
South America, probably?
I really don't know.
Wow.
I mean, he bought it in a...
Fighting your urge to flee.
So
I think it's legal to have that stuff, but I think it's kind of... They're cagey on, like, the selling of
trading, and especially in South America. Trading a body part.
He bought it. Well, I'll tell you. What the hell? It's no big deal.
Well, it isn't. Guy's dead.
He bought it from a Ripley's Believe.
It's a great
call. Now, Rob Kong, now you've raised the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've raised the bar, because tomorrow it'll be like Buddha Mouse again.
Yeah.
But for today, it's Bunny Tails, available at Amazon.com.
Isabella St. James, thank you, and good luck with your book.
Thank you, guys. You guys are sweet.
Boy, you're sweet.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants it.
Why do you want it?
He just wants it.
Did you ask him why he wanted it?
He said he's always wanted one. What do you say to that?
That's an impossible. That's a perfect answer if you don't want any follow up.
I'm looking at my watch the whole time because I mean, you know, and I'm thinking about the guy. He's a nice guy. Yeah. I know this. He's a very nice guy. I've seen him with his
kids. Appears to be normal.
He's a loving father.
Did he have any other collectibles that he shared with you?
He's a graphic artist and a designer. Uh-huh. So he's got a bunch of drawings that he's done, but I mean, like nothing that you would see it.
No red flags
in any head shop. Mm-hmm.
You know, kids didn't look like.
You know what? Janet was right. This has been actually very enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I've killed a bunch of time. Mm-hmm. And then right after shrunken head, I said, well, you know, I would hate, you know, I'm sure your sister hates to wait, especially since I effed up her birthday. I thought
What did Janet say about it?
So I get in the car.
Yeah, you're chomping.
Immediately.
Wheel spinning.
I call, and I'm driving back to Hershey, and she's in whatever chocolate bathtub, and I just, it's voicemail. It's like going, hello, are you there? Pick up.
Your brother frightened me.
I'm less than 15 minutes away. Pick up, pick up, pick up. So finally, she calls me back as I'm like 5 minutes from the place where she's at.
Why did you send me to Transylvania?
And she's all happy and mellowed out. And she says, oh, I want to tell you, this is so fantastic. And I just cut her right off in mid-sentence. And I said, your brother has a shrunken head. And she said, oh, I told you that. And I said, in what life did you tell me that? She said, I'm positive I told you that. And I said, she said, he bought it from Ripley's. And I said, you know, maybe that's one of those things that you told me and I thought you were joking about.
Right, yeah.
I said, that thing is effing creepy. She said, oh, I know. Did he show it to you? I said, yes, he wanted to make me touch it and smell it.
Did he estimate the age on it at all? Was there an age on it that could be...
Mike, there were many questions that will go unanswered about...
Really?
About...
So he's not answering your questions?
Well, You didn't...
You were so shocked you didn't have the...
My thought was run.
Right.
Run. You know, I mean, not that I was afraid for my life, but it's like I'm realizing I'm in the guy's basement.
See, once I was assured of my own personal safety... I would pepper him with questions about it because it would be kind of. Maybe I wouldn't because you probably just want to get the hell out of there.
Exactly,
probably would creep anybody out.
That's exactly what I wanted to do.
And you know, if you'd known the guy for 20 years,
he's a nice guy.
And he was goofy or something like that, and you knew him well, maybe you could hang around and ask some questions.
I mean, we left on this note that we're going to get together and go to a football game this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that they're close enough that we can socialize with them. But, you know, even on the way out, I said, okay, well. See you sometime this morning. No more shrunken heads now.
Yeah. Please.
You can't got anything else going on? Nope.
Mummies.
That's it.
Do we see amused at your reaction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what he does.
That's what he was. It was very much like he said, at one point he said, is there a problem? And I said, it was just he and I down there. He's just looking at this thing, like looking at his magnifying glass and everything. And I said, it's a little creepy. He said,
it is creepy.
He said, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
He said, I've just always really wanted a shrunken head, and it's a real one.
Yeah, real human. You know what I'm thinking of right now?
And then, like, 1 second later, though, I just got to tell you the segue. So there's a moment of silence, and he's looking at this thing with a big, like, Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass, and I'm on the other side of the work table, just sitting at the stool, and they've been exactly normal, except for the fact that he's looking at a shrunken head, and there's no conversation, and as he's looking down, he says, no. Oh, curious about my sister?
Oh, he's talking to the head?
No, he was talking to me. Talking to me while he was looking down at the head.
Wow.
He was making small. I said, hey, what are you doing down there?
And he's scene out of that movie, The Burbs.
Yeah.
he looks up and he says, I'm just screwing with you.
My brother, the doctor.
He'll really enjoy the Redskins game because he can see the shrunken owner.
That is, that's interesting. It's quite interesting. I would be creeped out too.
Yeah, I'm not
especially
sure
if there was an odor.
I'm not sure I would have been able to handle it that well.
Let me see if I still have a girlfriend. So then we talked about what happened with her.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I told you I was going to talk about your brother's shrunken head.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's cool with you.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know it came from Peru.
Yeah,
Peru.
Came from Peru.
Yeah, it originally came from Peru.
Okay.
And he actually didn't get it from a priest. He got it from an antique shop.
Oh, he got it from an antique shop.
And some world traveler had it in their attic forever, and they brought it in like a day before he walked in.
Well, why did he say Ripley's to me?
Because Ripley's has one.
Ah, they do. Ripley's has a similar
Ripley's
one.
Ripley's has one, and someone's ever been to, like, Ripley's.
Why didn't you tell me he has a shrunken head?
I did tell you the last time I was up there. Why didn't I take that trip by myself?
But why didn't you, okay, why didn't you tell me that he was going to want to whip it out? I forgot all about it.
He emptied out of the spa too fast because I was trying to get you to get that extra service for you since you forgot my birthday, and you found a way to get out. And so I went to tell you, but then you had already left, and I was like, back.
You did not. Hold on just a second. Hold on. When I left to go to your brother's, you really were not going to stop me and tell me. Could you call
me? Yes, I swear to God.
Sweetie, you could have picked up the phone and just called me.
No, I was back in the park. Once you go back into the locker room, you have to turn your cell phones off.
Right. Did your brother... Can I, Janet, can I ask you a couple of questions about your brother?
Yeah.
When you were growing up with him, he didn't like, did he like killing small animals or anything like that?
No. He likes snakes and, salamanders and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, I thought they were creepy. Yeah. And, when we were a kid, once we moved out of the city out into the country, there was, this old store and the people that owned it before we bought it, there was, they raised monkeys. So, their clubhouse was called the Monkey House, and it actually, monkeys, lived in that house. So, he's always been like that. He's very creative. He's an artist. And
I can't wait till Thanksgiving.
Do you think he enjoys having the shrunken head, or does he enjoy showing it to people to gauge their reaction?
He told me it was a very special occasion.
Yeah.
That he does not show everybody his shrunken head. It was like... Almost.
I would imagine that would be a good call.
It was like a ceremony.
Yeah.
Almost.
Mm-hmm.
The rite of passage. Shrunken head is his conversation piece, obviously.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can get them to email me a picture.
Please do. I would love to.
We would put it up on the website.
Cool.
We'll put it up on the website.
Yeah. Right. And really, the reason that he bought it.
Oh, hold on.
I'm sorry.
Just let me ask you something else.
Okay.
How come on Friday, you didn't say to me one time, and I know I asked you this in real life, but I love asking you on the radio.
What's that?
How come on Friday you didn't say to me one time, hey, dickhead, it's my birthday?
Because I knew that you had something planned.
Mm. For Saturday?
For the weekend. And remember when you called me and you told me, to not listen because you were talking about my birthday present, and then you called me and said, look, you listen now? This is one thing I said.
You know what?
She said she just wanted to be with you.
Yes, I just wanted to be with you. So I got the best birthday present in the world Friday night when I just got to spend the evening with you. Seriously, for me to ask you during the day, aren't you going to say happy birthday? I thought, you've got something.
Janet. Take a breath. Please. You know what this is like, ladies and gentlemen? This was like the 4-hour drive up and the 4-hour drive back.
Stop.
Blissful.
I could not be happier.
Yeah, this was a very good weekend.
She sure does like me.
That's good.
She sure does like talking a lot.
Well, you're the greatest.
To you.
Well, though you are.
Oh, thank you.
You are. So that was a home run this weekend, right?
Absolutely. Not a home run. This is like a Mark McGwire record-setting weekend home run.
That's wonderful.
Mike, what else did you want to ask her about her creepy brother?
Pretty much she answered it. I mean, he's an artist. He likes kind of things that are odd. He probably collects some antiques once in a while. You know, I'd be the guy. Look, if you ask me and I was in the house, I'd want to see it if somebody had one, you know,
sure.
But it would probably creep me out. It sounds like it caught you by surprise a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even when the kids were growing up, they didn't have normal pets. They had lizards that you couldn't even pet them because it was if you stuck your hand in, they could bite your hand off. And I mean, they have really.
You should just stop right there. You are, you're making it all so inviting. You're not even listening to me. You're making it all so inviting. The thought of being intertwined with your family. Please stop. It all sounds too good.
He is not like the rest of... the rest of my family's not like him. He really is actually very cool.
I think he's a very cool guy.
He's very cool.
I hope the rest of your family's not like him. I hope that they don't all have shrunken heads.
Oh, you know.
Well...
Hey, people like that make life interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, sweetie. Well, I will see you later.
Okay.
All right, happy late birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye, she has Bye. Got to cheer up.
Sure. and she is really, thank goodness she's come into my life since Frida.
Yeah. Right.
I'll get to more in the middle part of the weekend. But the way it ended last night was, so she came over Friday night and obviously spent the night. We got up, as I told you, Saturday in the car all day. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. 4 hours all the way up there. And super happy. She was going to have all this
very
stuff
very
done.
Happy.
Then I spent my 3 hours with the shrunken head. Went back to tell you about the CF at the hotel. It was a very long day.
Oh no!
We ended up getting up very early on Sunday. We arrived back home very early. She was there all day.
Uh-huh.
She took a nap. I took a nap. We had a snack. We had dinner, and then
you took a nap where? When you got home? Finally?
Yeah. When we got home. Well, I'll tell you about. Because of my weird schedule, like, I was up at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Right.
And if I'm up, she's up, you know. I mean, because one hotel room, you know,
right.
One bed. So we
ended up, beat a lot of traffic that way.
We ended up leaving, like, at 6 and just coming home. And we came home, and she went to sleep for a couple of hours. And then later, I took a nap. And anyway, it had been a very long weekend, and she likes to talk. And she likes to talk to me, and she liked asking me a lot of questions, and... And she's really wonderful, and anyway, we got done with dinner,
mm-hmm.
and the TV was on, the news was on, and then an ad came on for the Emmys.
Ah.
And she said, oh, I want to watch that tonight. I said, oh, you're out of luck. I'm watching the game tonight. I said, there's a live game on tonight, a preseason game. She said, oh, I'll watch it in the other room. I said, oh, no, you know what? Actually, if you leave very soon, you'll be home by the time it starts. That's exactly what I said to her.
That's how you said it?
And I appreciate the fact that she didn't get pissed off. She said, so what, am I going home tonight? And I said, yes. I said, yeah. I said, this is all new to me. This has been a great weekend, but it's overload. Now I said, yeah, it would just probably be best if you went home. I said, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I said, you got work tomorrow.
You're communicating the awkwardness of the situation.
Yeah, I said, I don't
know. You sound probably just like you sounded.
I said, you have work tomorrow. I have work. Right. You know, we've been with each other for 3 days straight. All that car time, everything was really wonderful. You know, you need to get home and get to your own house. And so anyway, she said, okay. And she was fine with it. And I went back in the other room and turned on whatever stupid game was on, Houston and Denver. And I realized, like, 8 minutes later, she's been like Superwoman upstairs, all of her bags and everything, car, everything loaded. And I mean, you know women, she bring like 8,000 bags just for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So like she comes in, she's just standing at the door. I can see her, just standing at the door. I'm like, hey, I can see her in the reflection of one of the posters on the wall. So I say, what are you doing out there? She said, she's very mouthy. She says, I didn't want to interrupt your game. So I go, pause the people. And I say, it's not a problem. What's happening? She said, I'm all packed up. I'm ready to get out of your hair. And I said, all those big bags, all the dog stuff, all of your work stuff, all of your... She pays her bills. I said, you carried all that by yourself? She said, yep, I'm all loaded. I said, why didn't you come ask me to move the bags, or to help you move the bags? She said, well, because you want me to leave.
Nothing
wow.
is free.
And,
boy, these fascinating conversations because they're so different.
And I said, well, you know, no, I don't want you to leave. I want you to go home.
Yeah.
And then she said, don't worry. She said, you know, don't worry. I totally understand.
All right,
I said,
good.
We had a lot of quality time together over the weekend.
I don't want you to leave. I just don't want you to stay.
No, but I mean, no, the way he said it, I don't want you to leave. I just want you to go home.
Uh-huh.
In a way, it probably softened it a little bit.
No, she totally understood.
Yeah,
no, she was. I mean, really,
you've been pretty clear on that.
She's great, and
right.
and it was very. It's very nice to be that. You know, and I said to her as she was leaving, you know, and meanwhile the whole time is like game waiting is standing at the door. I said, listen, thank you for being so understanding about this. She said, oh, listen, don't worry about it, you know. You're the greatest. I said, and she said, that's what's really best is that I appreciate your honesty. And I said, as I do yours. And then this is where I made the tragic mistake because I had her on the stoop, car running, dog in the car loaded. I said to her, yeah, we really do. But you got to remember to tell me stuff like your birthday.
Yeah.
I said, you can't forget to tell me stuff
right.
like your birthday. And what I did there was start everything all over again because then, she started the whole thing, but she said, oh, I'm really not upset about about my birthday.
Kind of gave us a taste of what we got before.
Because Saturday, and meanwhile, I'm just, standing there, you know, watching the car running, her dog inside going nuts, like, you know, I'm inside the car. My dog's at the front door barking because there's another dog that's right there. And what we're starting to do now is rehash.
Yeah. Conversation
immediately.
It should be really well. Thank you. Okay. Bye bye.
Well, listen.
Bye bye.
What girl wouldn't want this schedule? I'll just end this with this. What girl wouldn't want to be with a fabulous guy like me on her birthday or the day that he thinks is her birthday? We get up at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning to get to the goddamn spa.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the goddamn spa.
What time do you go to bed at night when you get up at these hours?
We have to bed like at 10:30.
Okay.
On Friday
still
night.
Early, even at 10:30, it's early.
So she has all this stuff done. Now it's 4 o'clock. As I've mentioned, the place smells like dirty diaper.
Right.
It's an incredible CF to try to find where the room is between Hershey Street and Coco Avenue and Fifth Avenue.
Get it,
Fifth Avenue. Except, as it turns out, there's a Fifth Avenue A and a Fifth Avenue B.
Oh, sure.
And they don't bother telling you, so you're driving around and there's no parking because every numbnuts who's ever pop illegitimate Brittany and Kevin children.
Well, you know, it's the last one of the last weekends of the summer.
I know,
right?
At any point, did she measure your head?
Or vice versa.
So now
she's being used by her brother to collect heads.
So she's so sweet about this that I get up and I know that right away I know the vibe that I'm giving off is I wake up and I go, oh, Christ, 7:45. I go, God damn, this has been a long day. Driving you up here, all that crap getting, driving to your brother's, Jesus Christ. I got to put on that monkey suit, and right away I realized that I'm, and she says, you know, we really don't have to go to the fancy place.
Wow.
We can go anywhere.
Listen to that.
And I said, only if you are sure.
God!
I think that this
is... My God! You're cracking me up.
This is like maybe the trap of traps. And she says, no. She said, you know what? You're tired. I'm tired, too. We both got up very early today. She said...
She's sitting there in her outfit.
Well, no. See, the thing is, she's happy because she's had her spa.
Was she dressed?
No.
Okay.
She was still wearing... Still in her chocolate spa robe.
Right.
She had a drink. She'd mellowed out a little bit.
Okay.
So she was fine. She said, listen, whatever. So I think, great. I could just put on, like, the Packers T-shirt I have on. We get in the car. And then comes the great drive of idiocy, and I blame myself more than her, because here are the choices: Applebee's, Red Robin,
it's God's country up there,
Budruckers,
or
a place right next to the hotel called Your Place, YRPLACE.
That's the one I would have chosen.
Well, that's the one she chose,
because that was the unknown commodity.
That's the one she chose.
Yeah.
And I said...
Did you have the old 96er when you went in there?
I said, you know what?
Were there animals on the wall?
I said, I don't trust the place.
Yeah.
It's too close. There's no cars outside.
Spelling is bad.
I don't think so. Let's go somewhere else. So we drive up and down the goddamn strip. It's like, we go to Applebee's, and I said, I don't know if I can take Saturday night at Applebee's.
No.
She said, it's your call. I said, what's Red Robin? She said, it's like Applebee's. I said, okay. Then she said, what about that Italian place? And I said, I don't know. That looks like Applebee's, too. And she said, well, where do you want to go? And I said, I'm going to go to the place by the hotel. So we spent 20 minutes driving around.
You went to your place?
Yeah, we go there, we eat. Now, here's the exciting life being with me. Here's the end of this long-winded story. Sorry to go on so long. We were asleep on Saturday night. I went to bed for good at 10:50.
Yeah.
And I woke up Sunday morning at 5 a.m. Now, I wake up, and I go, and I take a leak, and I'm very careful. I don't turn lights on or anything. As soon as I crawl back into the bed, she says, hey, good morning. I said, oh, I didn't mean to wake you. I'm sorry. She said, I'm awake. I said, are you truly awake? She said, you know, you're learning all about me now, and this is like... weird part, I said, because if we keep talking, I'm going to be like 100% awake. Mm-hmm. She said, okay with me. I said, okay, here come the lights.
Up, let's go.
I turn on the lights. We get the coffee maker going.
Mm-hmm.
Turn on ESPN. God damn it, 6 o'clock, Hershey in our rearview mirror. 6 a.m.
You're out of there.
The only...
It's kind of a neat feeling when you when you do a little escape. You're kind of escaping from the place. Yeah. You're not dealing with all the other people.
Right? We had a very nice day, and then it ended with the, you know, with the, okay, now it's time to go. The only other thing of note would be a bit of road rage that I want to share with you. We are on either Highway 81 or 83, eventually out of Adams.
Either one, right.
And I'm in the slow lane. We're in a part where it's a four-lane highway, two going one way, two going the other way. Mm-hmm. I'm in the right-hand lane.
Right.
Because, like, I'm paranoid, there's 1,000 cops out with speed traps, and I got big, gigantic signs saying, you know, we are patrolling extra hard this weekend.
Right. Last time I got popped was in Pennsylvania. That's where they got me. Yeah. In that area, that same corner.
No, they don't make any...
In fact, I got stopped where when I was coming back from Hershey.
They don't make any bones about it. You see the big sign saying speed enforcement, and then like 2 seconds later, there's 8,000 cops standing in the middle of the road with radar guns.
I got Tootsie Roll popped when I was coming back. More fun.
That is fun.
Thank you.
So we're coming out. I'm going just 65, you know, just got the cruise control on, and... Some dick is on my ass and he wants to pass me. Now I'm in the right-hand lane.
Well,
right?
Plenty of room for him to get around.
So I turn around and I go like, come on. Like, pass me. I'm in the right-hand lane. Mm. Guy gets up very close to me as he passes, swerves towards me. You know that move.
Yeah.
You know that right-hand move.
Right.
And hangs out of the car and pretends that he is cocking a shotgun. Now, at this point...
Like Danny, a guy in his passenger seat?
Yeah, the skinhead, and really he was, he had a haircut like Yanni. Janet says, oh my God, he's got a gun! And I go...
Oh, no.
On the side of the road.
Oh my God.
And then I said, you're asking me, he didn't have a gun? I didn't see a gun. She said, you know what, he pretended like he was cocking a gun. And I said,
that's a weird move anyway.
Sure
then.
Right. So,
Jesus.
I said, okay, let's calm down. At the very least, I'm going to go catch up to this guy.
Oh, no.
So we can write his license plate.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's all. I don't.
Still, though, if somebody's behaving that weird, it's kind of, you know.
So, you know, we work our way up, and it takes only a second. We see him, and she writes the number down. And we are, you know, two car lengths behind them in the right-hand lane. Mm-hmm. They're in the left-hand lane. They slow down.
Uh-oh.
We get up close. And he pulls out. It's almost like, remember that Tom Hanks thing on Saturday Night Live when he was the...
Yeah, with the
skating guy?
The six shooters?
Yeah.
Little toy six shooter, little cap gun?
He's leaning out of his car with his hands going, how about... And I'm screaming at this guy. What is your effing problem? And she's saying, don't talk to him, don't talk to him, don't talk. I said,
what time is this? Is this early, early?
This is...
Right after you leave Hershey, right?
This is like between 7 and 8.
Okay. Wow. Sounds like maybe he's coming home from a big night. Or he's on his way to church.
I won't call
He's coming that. Home from a big night the night before.
So anyway, she says to me, don't do anything stupid. And I'm like, I can't do anything stupid. I said, I'm in the right-hand lane. The guy is, like, driving right next to us.
What's the driver doing?
It's a girl. She's just driving.
Oh, wow.
She's just driving. So finally, you know, because Janet's flipping out a little bit, I just pulled
And it. Suddenly he threw a shrunken head at you.
I pulled the car off on the side of the road. You know, we just sat there for a second. But all right,
he creeped you out that much.
Yeah, we'll let him get by.
I wish I mean, you got, that's what they say, just avoid those situations.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
But
bang, bang.
Even if he got the fake gun.
Hold on, let's go to Buzz, because I believe we have what he is describing at least as breaking news.
Thought you'd want to know, John Mark Carr guilty of being handsome. The DNA did not match, and there are reports now that he will be released and not charged in the case. So
well,
I'm glad we spent all that time on the cable networks covering it.
Who told you?
What will they talk about next?
Who told you?
That's the name of that tune.
Yep. Well, boy.
Is there going to be any penalty for the guy for doing this?
I got to get me a psychic hotline.
You should.
I really do. I had that one right.
You know, with his track record, though, I hope they send him back to Thailand. He's a little strange, but as things stand now, I don't know that he's going to be charged with anything.
Wow.
So I'm glad he got steak and shrimp and... Chalk one up for the Boulder police again.
Champagne.
Maybe it's a trick. Maybe he really
told
is.
Told ya. told you.
You did early on.
Yeah.
Early
right away. Yeah. I believe it is very boldly. I said the 50-50 chance.
Right.
That's what I said. Yeah, exactly.
You made a fist and made it. You and a lot of other people said that.
And Mike, you have just unknowingly made a great segue.
Yes.
When you said I made a fist.
Uh-huh. You made a fist.
It's time to talk about Buzz going camping.
Hey! There we go.
There's
so much I can't say.
When we come back.
Now, I got a little intel. I've been getting the bits and pieces of it. I'm pretty fascinated by what went on in this trip.
I see that Joe's got like 8,000 calls about shrunken heads and about KKK in Pennsylvania, but really...
They're not related, though. The shrunken head and the KKK.
No, you can tell by the size of the hood.
Oh, God. I bet
but,
you can.
I can.
We'll talk about Buzz because he was super... Super excited.
They were excited
to get out of here on Friday.
I'm going to be honest with both you and John.
Yes?
You were super excited about the weekend. Very
oh
excited.
Oh, my God.
About the reviews, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how good a time. You know what I've gotten from both of them? What? Fine.
Do you remember that old commercial?
It was fine.
Do you remember that old commercial where the bulldog was walking down the street and a dog was literally jumping over it back and forth?
Right.
The Kibbles and Bits commercial? That's the way they looked in the parking lot on Friday.
Yeah, and then when I asked both of them today, it was really, I got
like
a very,
dogs in heat.
A very enthusiastic fine.
That's
I'm not sure, but I think something went horribly wrong.
I do know one thing this weekend. Buzz's head was not shrunken.
Oh, God. Yeah. Quite the opposite.
No, in fact, that's true.
Swollen would be the word.
Engorged.
Well.
FOMO.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's all think about that for a second.
I will. Wow. I can't stop. Wow. Oh, God. I'm grossing myself out.
Oh, let's stop and think about something serious. Like Hiroshima. A big mushroom cloud.
Yes, sir. You know what I like on a good steak?
What?
Just a couple of mushroom caps. Wonderful. And whenever I ride my motorcycle, I always make sure to wear my helmet. Thank you. Thank you very much. These jokes are coming too easily to me.
They are.
I'm a little concerned about that.
What about those German helmets?
Oh, they're good,
yeah.
too.
But... Well, that's the kind that I like to wear.
Not with a spike, though.
No.
No.
No, that wouldn't look good at all.
You know what color helmets the Minnesota Vikings wear?
Purple helmets.
Purple helmets.
Big purple helmets.
They do. I know.
Notre Dame wears, they wear gold helmets, struck from a vein of gold.
We have to break.
We do.
So we can get ahead of the show.
Otherwise, we'd be sitting here doing this kind of stuff for the next 4 hours.
He's right, now we're behind, which I'm sure was involved as well.
Well, I'm looking forward
over there with Captain Anal.
Looking forward to hearing the whole story.
Hey, kids, it's time for the Captain Anal Show.
All I know is...
Buzz coming out of his tugboat uniform.
Right. John, can I quote you on what you were telling me outside?
Which part?
About what your wife said to you on Saturday.
Oh, let's save it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Doesn't it like a shrunken head?
I asked.
Okay, we'll come right back. We'll start there when we come back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I am.
It's Don and Mike on the Pike. This Wednesday at 8 p.m., Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a blast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno-style show. Hooters on Rockville. That's how I roll.
Wednesday night, we'll see you there.
You're not giving your f***ing kidney. What if one of your kids needs a kidney once? You're going to give the kidney to Rick Lucas? No.
You give it to him.
I might not be the match, Larry. He needs his kidney, number one. Number two, he's a fat f***. He can't even survive the surgery.
How do you know he can't survive the surgery?
For a healthy and thin, you're giving the kidney. End of discussion.
Move on. Don and Mike Show.
Right. Damn it, honey.
It's good, because it's based on books. The Don and Mike Show.
The shrinking process. After they had to sever it, peel the skin off the face, turn it inside out and scrape it, believing that violent death was the sole and of revenge. The two eyes carefully sewed up the lips and eyelids to trap and paralyze the spirit. Skull and brain were sacrificed to the spirit of the anaconda, while the leftovers simmered in a pot of berry-cured water. After about the 2 hours, the head would shrink to about a third of its size. And that was good sounds of Carol Melvin and the Blue Notes. You see, The head was shaken until the skin becomes like leather. Then the face is rubbed with charcoal and berries need to be moisturized so it won't crack. After one night of smoking over a fire, the hair is carefully trimmed, and the head is ready for the celebration.
And then soon it's up to the wilds of Pennsylvania where it makes a wonderful keepsake.
And that's one type of head, the shrunken head.
That's right.
That my girlfriend's brother had. And then there's Buzz, who went camping over the weekend with a fellow Don and Mike show member, our webmaster, John Norman, and his wife, and a third couple who shall remain nameless.
Okay.
We
can give them names if you like.
What,
I mean, they have. Well, all I know is John Norman's wife was just dying to get out of there, and I want to know why. She was dying to extricate herself.
Fear, I guess. Why don't we call them Sexy and Sexier?
Okay.
Fine.
What's
actually a good name?
First of all, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the weekend?
Oh, I would say an 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. How about you, John?
I'll give it a solid 8, too.
I can see we're going to have to really try to pry the information.
How about your wife, John? What would she give the weekend?
Two. That's probably a good call.
A two.
She had fun, but it really is just not her cup of tea.
Not everybody interested in that sort of thing.
Did Buzz touch her?
Well, of course. He touched it all. You guys, did you do any smoke singing?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Right. Right, drink absinthe?
Actually, I never made it out.
Didn't get around to that. Oh, no, that's not good.
Yeah. Did your wife have a good time, Buzz?
I believe she did, yeah.
Let me see.
How about the other couple that you took prisoner?
I believe they had a very good time as well. Didn't you tell me that they were having a giant, like, husband-wife fight on Saturday
there
morning?
There was a misunderstanding over breakfast Saturday morning, but that was quickly... Saturday morning. It's the second time I've heard Saturday morning. Now, Saturday morning did not necessarily go that smoothly.
Well, yeah, breakfast plans went awry.
Didn't you make campground breakfast? Didn't you make s'mores for breakfast?
Well, not s'mores, but we actually did prepare our own meals. In fact, I became the king of fire over this weekend. I'm now a master at building and maintaining a campfire.
So you cooked breakfast over an open fire outside?
Yes, we did.
Well, with like a skillet and everything?
Sure.
Did
the misunderstanding have something to do with the phrase pot scrambled eggs?
It's Buzz and Marcia and the other couple staying in a trailer, and it's John, in a camper. Uh-huh. And John and Kelly are staying where?
In a rustic cabin.
A rustic cabin right there at the same campsite. Gotcha. Okay.
How far away were you, John, from the trailer?
About 30 feet, 40 feet.
Oh, so you're there.
Yeah. Why would your wife wait the weekend of camping with Buzz at 2?
It's not, I'm sorry, the company was not what rated a 2. It's sleeping outdoors that would be rated a 2. She's a big fan of spiders.
But I thought you had a cabin.
Yes, but it was mighty rustic.
Very rustic.
The mattress was about, I'll give it a good 3 inches thick and on a piece of plywood.
Do you have hot and cold running water in the cabin?
No.
The cabin had no plumbing whatsoever, so they had to come to our trailer to shower.
Wow.
or go to the big community shower.
Isn't it funny how that worked out?
Yeah. 6 vacancies and camp discomfort.
So what happened? Let me talk to the SP here. The sexual predator.
Oh, yeah.
Buzz, as you were like the...
me.
As you were the spider drawing all of them into your web on Saturday. Mike's right. On Friday night, you guys were like goofballs on crack.
They were crazy. Just very
they were crazy to get up on this trip.
Yeah,
they had their goddamn guitars, and they were going to go to the mountains. They were going to get in touch with nature. They're going to make campfires. They were going to have sex. They were going to have...
Take acid.
Bad sex.
How long did it take you to get to your campsite?
No, bad sex.
Not as long as I thought.
I think it's bad.
Under an hour.
Under an hour?
From here. Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah. Not that far away.
Where'd you go camping, Gaithersburg?
Public park. I hope no one minds.
Public park. So really, what happened? I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere with 4 other adults for 2 whole days. What do you do? How'd you spend your time?
Well, there was the fire building and cooking, and there was swimming, and there was swimming.
Oh! Did anybody go sans suit?
No. No, we were not able to do that, actually, because of other people around.
Were you in a pool? Was it swimming in a pool?
Yeah, it was a pool and nothing else.
So you swam in a pool?
Yeah.
At a campground?
That's right.
Shrunken head cancer.
Same class as San Diego. Yeah.
Any baby Ruths?
No. No, there weren't.
No, it could have been nicer.
It was very, a nice pool?
Very clean, yes.
Very clean. Decent.
Was it a KOA?
No, no, it was not.
Was it a Yogi Bear?
Oh, yeah.
No, wasn't the Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear camp.
No, it wasn't one of those.
Did they have shower facilities there?
Yes.
Like that kind of place?
Right.
That's the pool.
It's only the cleanest showers here. The Band-Aid showers.
There were no Band-Aids.
Really, it's an awful joke, but you might as well be back like in Nazi Germany with those showers.
I mean, pretty nasty.
You go in there and it's like...
No, this wasn't like that.
No, really. I've been there. Frida drug me to a couple of those places, and really one time I said to her, you know, this is too creepy.
It's gross.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's all these people that are...
You have to have, if you want to go camping, you have to have a tolerance for the gross factor.
We didn't have to use those facilities. We had our own private.
Well, the sign reads, you know, shower here if you care to test your vaccination strength.
How was the room in the shower in the camper?
Oh, it's very snug, very, very tight.
At any point during the weekend were more than what was more than one person in the shower.
No, I'm not sure that would have been possible.
You know, when you're in that close quarters, the first thing that comes to mind is dropping a deuce. What is the, I mean, is it, it's really, to me, it would be the most awkward thing. Uh-huh. What do you do? I mean, obviously, during the period of time you're there, for, what, 48 hours?
Right.
A solid 48 hours?
Right.
It's kind of awkward, isn't it, when you have to go in and really, take it?
And not if you time it correctly.
There, really?
There's obviously a private closet in the camper with the toilet.
Yeah, but hold on. Let me just give you some perspective. I want to tell you from.
Uh-huh.
My girlfriend and I were at the Hershey Lodge, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Let me explain this to you. We had a very nice room that had a bathroom that was adjoining. The problem is there was no fan in the bathroom.
Oh,
it was like its own separate room where you shut the door, you went in, there was the tub, shower, mm-hmm. and the toilet.
Right.
I went into the bathroom area, the little outside area, turned on the water on the faucet.
Right.
Went in there. It was first one in the morning. What can you do?
Right.
No, I'm thinking it's Buckshot City.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Even with the courtesy flush, it's awkward.
Yeah. And I did use the courtesy flush when I felt, after all night, when I felt the pressure building up.
Right.
So this was at 5 a.m.
Yes.
I get courtesy flush and walk back out of the bedroom and I get into bed and she says, she's like, I didn't hear that.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So you had a little gunfire in there.
Everybody does. That,
of course.
And that's exactly, I think you're going with it.
Yeah. Because
it's not
even like going to somebody's guest house. It's not even like going to somebody's cottage. It's not even like, it's a camper. We're talking 20, 30 feet with four human beings. If you're letting them use the bathroom, you're talking six human beings. That's a lot of people and a lot of washing and a lot of pooping and a lot of.
You got a crawler and who knows how much. You know, I mean, you've had carbonated beverages.
Oh, yeah.
You're wearing your sensible slacks very tight. You've got all that pressure. You've got gas building up.
Gas building up. Now, listen, I know you and I have for years rivaled each other as far as production of methane in the studio. And Rob's right behind us, so to speak. But the fact is, that to me would be a significant issue. I guess you can walk outside.
It's all about timing. You wait till everybody else is outside the trailer, so you have the whole trailer to yourself.
Okay.
There is a fan, and that helps.
Did everybody do that? Did everybody extend everybody else that courtesy?
Absolutely.
Are the windows open? I mean, is there a breeze going through the camper, or is it sealed?
There's an exhaust fan in the restroom of the camper. The rest of the camper is air conditioned.
Yeah.
And between the air conditioning and the fan and the stereo running, nobody hears them.
How late did you stay up on Friday night?
Not as late as I guess maybe the excitement must have worn me out, because we have a lot of pictures over the weekend of me sleeping.
What time did you turn it on Friday?
I think ultimately it was like 1 a.m. But
yeah, but it's not bad.
But technically, I was unconscious around 10. So
were you the last one up? Were you the last one up?
No, it was the first one up every morning, so I had a little time to myself in the mornings.
See, the last camping trip that I went on, I went on two of them. Way back when I was a club DJ and I was working with a lot of restaurant people. Right. And The one camping trip, we played quarters, you know, the drinking game quarters, and we played it all weekend. I mean, right. It was raining, it was gray, and we stayed in the cabin and played quarters. That one was good because I don't remember it. The second one, which was a real camping trip with tents and everything, I remember getting wood out of another guy's campsite.
Getting wood.
This guy John's campsite.
You got wood at a guy's campsite?
I went in, not that kind of wood you're talking about, like firewood. And I walked in, and all I know is...
The wood was on fire?
No, it was firewood that was in a pile.
Been there, my...
It was in a pile.
You're grossing me out. You know I don't like that.
It was right in the piles. And the guy apparently had been drinking long before I got there, and he got pissed off because he didn't like me anyway. And they said they had to talk him out of shooting me in the butt with a .22.
Wow, because you stole his firewood.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't know much about the rules. And I was like, I got up there with my ass.
God. Don't take another man's
ass. I walked into the campsite with my ass and said, hi, everyone.
You look like Jeremy Piven.
I look like Jeremy Piven. And congratulations to Greg Garcia, who won an Emmy for writing for that.
And funny.
And gave the funniest acceptance speech of the night.
We've got some Emmy tapes that we'll get to. But Buzz, did you shoot anybody in the backside with your .22?
No, I did not.
That so 1 o'clock is not... To me, like, you know, raucous.
No. So we were just exhausted from the excitement and the preparation.
Was there
everything.
Any touching? Was there any kissing? Was there any...
I think only between married, you know, couples, the people who were married to each other, perhaps. And beyond that,
John,
not so much.
Tell him the truth, Buzz.
Okay.
Oh, damn it!
All right. There's a reason he breathes that way.
A lot of conversation?
Yeah, a lot of singing, a lot of
there was
playing,
singing,
guitar playing,
did
and
you,
talking.
Did you play the guitar?
Out. No, I have no talent. You know that.
Singing?
Do you sing?
No. You I have no talent.
John, you had the guitar. You sing, right?
I hum. Hum softly in the background.
A little bit. Yeah. Did you play the guitar?
I did.
But how many times can you sing "Puff the Magic Dragon"?
What did you sing?
Wow. I don't know. Played a little Grateful Dead. A
lot of that.
Wow.
Little Kumbaya.
You know, we are prying information out of these guys.
They're not giving us anything.
They're not giving us anything.
I know it.
There was a sing-along.
You'll just have to come camping with us and sing.
Truckin', did you sing that one?
No, and your China Cat Sunflower.
And your wife had a bad time.
She's not a fan of camping.
She survived it okay.
Damn it, I heard that one.
Y'all did.
All right, well, there you go, everybody. That's Buzz's story, and he's sticking to it.
Something horrible happened in the woods, and they're not talking about it. That's my theory.
I think the most horrible thing that happened is Buzz sang.
Hello, Mike. Itsy Bitsy Spider.
We're in the woods.
Don Mike Show, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing very well, thank you.
Listen to the show, and your mics were popping in and out. It was very difficult to listen to that last session.
We'll send that right out to Tech and Spec, and also we'll send that up to my left nad, okay? How would that be?
Well, fine. I mean, I was just commenting. That's all.
What do you mean the microphones are going in and out?
They're popping. It's not, it's like it's a pop. Okay. It's being interrupted.
You sure it's not like your receiver?
No, because I tried another station, it was fine.
See, we're wearing headphones, and everything we're hearing is just fine, except for this call.
We have all brand new equipment, and no one except you has called to say that there's something wrong with the sound.
Yeah.
But listen to his song.
Popping in and out.
Someone's crying, Lord, kumbaya. You were saying what?
Kumbaya.
All right.
Okay, screw off.
A pistol.
That's it. Okay, that's it?
Do you think he was happy he made that call?
For him. That's all he has to say.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi there. I just wanted to call and let you guys know that the sound quality over the stream is hardly listenable right now.
Oh, the stream?
Oh, you're talking about the Internet.
If you're talking about the Internet, and if that's what the other guy was talking about, what can we do about that, for God's sakes?
Well, I just wondered if that was just generally over the air or not. I didn't know if that was affecting just the radio.
What exactly is your complaint? What is happening?
Well, the volume seems to be fading in and out. It sounds like somebody's messing with the knob, even though I know that's, you know, not incorrect.
On the Internet.
The big Internet knob.
It sounds like it's facing side because I've reset the stream several times. You know, I don't know if I just want to call and let you guys know.
You know, all I know is that when you have big weekends in out-of-the-way places like camping in Hershey Park, sometimes that affects your stream.
Well, maybe something's wrong with the Internet stream. But goddamn, how can we fix that?
I don't know.
We can barely do the show.
Right.
it's not our job, man.
Oh, now please don't everybody call with us. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Welcome, friend.
Hi.
Hi, radio up loud.
Turn your radio down, please.
Hi there.
Hi there. Your mics are going in and out. It's been nonstop for since you came back on.
On the internet, just not on real radio.
Are you talking about the internet, or are you listening on the real radio?
On the real radio. I checked the other stations, and it's been popping in and out since you guys started your segment.
You mean like totally dropping out?
Totally dropping out. Totally broken.
We hear only parts of it. Hold on. Where are you calling from? What station?
Fairfax, 106.7.
106.7. Huh.
I will say one thing that I did notice. It sounds a little different today.
Hello.
In my headphones.
Donna Mike Show.
Their microphones are...
Like that?
Thank you, Adam.
But I mean, I don't hear any, like, decrease in volume.
If that's the case, where were these people calling? I mean, if it was so prevalent, how come none of these people called until the one guy called?
Are you aware that they did anything over the weekend here?
No. This person's locked up tight. Hello,
okay.
Donna Mike Show.
I'm sure a team of engineers is working on it now.
Hello there, Donna Mike Show.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah, I just want to let them know that I'm on the radio, too, and it sounds like crap with their mic.
What station are you listening on?
106.7 and 105.7.
I would ask one of the engineers if they did anything, because it does sound different to me, but it doesn't sound like we're dropping off or dropping out.
No, it sounds fine here.
Sounds like something was done. Something was done that's different from Friday and today. I did notice that.
Well, where were all you people when this was happening, if this is true?
Well, I was trying to get through. I couldn't get through.
No, hold on a second. What I mean is, if this was happening, and I say this to our audience after yelling at the guy, saying, you know, and playing the cricket sounds, if there really was something wrong that Mike and I didn't know and it happened two segments ago...
Well, was somebody calling in? I mean, did we get calls?
No, nobody called at all. And now that the one guy called, everybody in the goddamn world is calling, and here now is Mr.
Well, he's the one that got yelled at, so we're happy now we can call in and not get yelled at.
Get out of here. Hold on a second.
Engineering is working on it even as we speak. It seems to have corrected itself. It stopped. Dave heard a couple dropouts, but it's not dropping out anymore.
Did they do anything over the weekend? Or anything this morning or anything like that?
No, they did.
Has anything been changed or adjustments made, like buttons turned or anything like that?
The only thing they did is they adjusted my microphone because it sounded so bad on
the Friday. So they did adjust some things.
Yes, but it shouldn't have affected that. They're going to reset the Zephyrs, and that should correct it.
Reset the Zephyrs!
Thanks for making it sound like Star Trek.
Let's reset the Zephyrs, Captain.
Now let's talk to every dick jerk in the world.
Okay.
Who wants to call up and say, "Scott, the mics have been doing that all day."
Hello. It's Wednesday.
Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Donna Mike Show.
Hello. Donna Mike.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello.
You're on. Yeah.
This is DJ.
Hello.
Hey.
DJ from the Roseanne Barr Show?
No, DJ.
What? Yeah. How? You?
Your phone sounds like...
He's doing the same thing.
That's a funny game.
He's doing the same thing. He's doing what we're trying to do
a second time.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Everything I've wanted to call you about for all the years, I have to call you to tell you in Sacramento your radio's breaking up.
In Sacramento, it's the microphones are dropping out?
Nationwide. Yes. It's on the radio.
Describe it, please. And Mike, please do not lead the witness.
All right.
Just in and out.
So what you're saying, it's kind of a... No, I'm kidding.
Mike.
It's a joke.
It's a joke!
It's not a joke.
No, I was telling John Donna it was a joke because I was leading you.
You know, it's funny.
Like I do.
You know, it's funny. Is what, have you noticed calling now?
Busy.
The cheek color? All red?
The only thing... It was so subtle to us, and I should tell our listeners that...
I don't notice anything.
I noticed a very subtle difference, but that's happened many times since we've been in here because they're making little adjustments as they're getting used to it. We have not, on our end, in this studio, in any way, heard microphones dropping out.
No, it hasn't happened.
Sounds great.
Nope.
But it does sound overcompressed. That's the way, to my audio ear, but that's, you know, that's happened before.
My apologies to those, at least the first guy. You know, but the rest of you guys, they screw off. You know what I mean? If one guy calls and there really is a problem to him, I say thank you and I apologize for the crickets. But everybody else, where the frick were you? So you just listen. If the microphones are coming in and out, you'll just listen to it?
Until somebody speaks up. Yeah, but it's not, you know, as far as our monitoring, it's not so significant that we can say, hey, this is really bad. What it sounds to me in here is that everything sounds clipped. Everything sounds just a little over-compressed, but it's not like it can't be heard. We're hearing in our headphones.
What do you got to say there, Brownie?
Who, me?
I was referring to your underpants.
Oh, no, they're white today. They may be gray. Hold on. Oh, no, they're dark.
Still?
Black.
What do you have to say?
There hasn't been a single dropout since we have been made aware of the problem. Dave is listening to it.
What, in the last 3 minutes, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm not laughing because of that, Rob. I'm laughing just when you're... It's just you're funny.
You're, I can't help it.
I know. You're the point man for this, and I understand.
So you're telling me that for the last 3 minutes, things are A-OK and we're positive.
We're back on track.
Aces.
Yay.
Okay. That is teats, as we used to say back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Simply cow teats. Hello, Dot and Mike Show.
Saggy, drooping cow
teats. Hello.
Hey, how often do you play Stomp the Stoop?
Oh, I don't know. A couple of times a year.
I think I name the key of each song when you guys play the game, so I would like to challenge you to Stomp the Stoop, and not only can I name the tunes, I can name the key of the tunes.
I tell you what, how about we make a date to play next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
What time? Can you call back next Tuesday?
At about this time.
Okay, and I guarantee you I can tell you the key of every song and the tempo.
I'll play you next Tuesday. Call back then.
That's a date.
Tuesday and fine.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That caller was dropping out.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, that shrunken head you touched, you lied. It's screwing up your program. It is fading out. Now you're possessed.
Oh, now they're the curse theorists.
See, next week, we'll be on one of our many holidays.
What? And I love it when you call it holiday.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hey, Mike, it is a WDH. Well-deserved holiday.
Yes. Amen, brother.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Mike's a poppin'. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, it started when Johnny Norman started talking. It wasn't doing it all day.
I knew it!
I'm just kidding, John. I am just kidding. I'm going to say that right away that I'm kidding.
All right, thank you, honey.
Because I know you're sensitive. I've been having that horrible weekend with your wife.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Beat her up.
Yeah. Have a fine weekend.
Rob just chimes in with beat her up. Yeah, that's Rob's. Incidentally, if Rob was doing the Larry the Cable Guy tour, that's what Rob's slug line would be. Beat her up.
Slug line. Somewhere all over America, there would be like beer openers. A little Rob's face. You press a little button, you hear the chip. Beat her up. Hello, Todd Mike Show.
Made me a fortune.
The new Get Her Done.
Beat her up.
Beat her up.
Beat her up.
Hello, Todd Mike Show.
Yeah, so I was wondering if you guys want a Jewish Bible.
The Jewish Bible?
Yeah, the Torah.
Yeah, what about the Torah?
I mean, I can order you a book for...
I already have it. I have it in comic book form.
I'd like three of them.
It's great. Rob wants three.
I have
Torah,
it.
Torah.
You want me
mine
to
I have on tape.
Ruin the ending for you. I thought it was about Ernest Borgnine's wife. Isn't her name something like Torah?
That's Tova.
Tova.
I only mentioned it because when I was up at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning...
Isn't it Tova Felshoe?
Because I'm a dick like that and my schedule is just messed up. When there was nothing on TV at 5 a.m. in Hershey, Pennsylvania, I turned on QVC.
Yeah.
And there she was, live, talking her wares at 5 a.m.
Tova Borgnine. Tova Felshoe is another actor.
Is she still just selling the wigs?
Yep.
Yeah.
There was Borgnine.
Tova Borgnine.
On TV at really 5
a.m. Really top-notch. He's great in Poseidon Adventure.
We really should break.
Yes.
And come right back. Thanks to all the helpers out there.
And hopefully everything done.
We will...
All right.
Go to...
Don... Egg.
Buzz, what? Take us, Buzz. We go take us...
Don... Egg.
How's that working out for everybody, huh?
Hello, Sacramento. Awfully sorry.
I'm fine here.
Sorry you're not getting every drop.
Be right. You know.
What?
Right.
What?
Break.
What?
Go to break.
What?
I wish you were going to break.
What? Buzz?
Yes?
At times like that, you have to say something. If I slowly turn off everybody's microphone, and yours is the only one left. Let's try that one more time.
All right.
Rob?
Yes?
Say go to break.
Donna, it would be really great if we could go to break right now. Because
I'll turn off your mic. Okay, now, Mike,
Don,
Rob,
I really wish you'd press the button because it's essential that we have everybody listen.
Don and now Mike. I'm going to turn off my mic and see Rob will not, and now the only person left is Buzz. Who?
Don and Mike, go to break.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Incredible!
Whoa, look out!
It's Don and Mike on the Pike. This Wednesday at 8 p.m., Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a breast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno-style show. Hooters on Rockville. That's how I roll.
Guys, all Wednesday night.
First of all, as you know, we have made strong exceptions. We've condemned strongly Iranians' attempt to develop any kind of program that would allow them to enrich uranium. And so we'll continue to enhance protection at our borders and coastlines and airports and bridges and nuclear power plants. Two folks work. They both contribute to the Social Security system. If one dies early, the spouse, the remaining spouse, gets to choose her benefits or his benefits, which are ever greater, but not both. Think about that system.
Okay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like our studios?
Fancy digs you got here.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
They are never deficient in vitamin love. Don and Mike.
Well, here's a shot. We're just talking to Dave. Dave Mitz, who is our on-site engineer.
Hello, Davey.
And David Mitz is really a great engineer.
He is.
I want to especially thank him personally for fixing these headphones for me.
Yeah, he takes care of all the little stuff around here.
I like these old, antiquated headphones that you can't buy anymore, and he practically rebuilt these things. So anyway, the guy was going out of his mind trying to figure out why the microphones were fading in and out. And we have finally decided, or Dave decided, Dave Mitz decided, that it's our station in D.C., WJFK. Someone at that radio station, because the way that we do the show is we feed it from our new studios to WJFK.
Mm-hmm.
WJFK then feeds it to Westwood One, which feeds it to, you know, the limited amount of stations in the country that we're on.
And we go to commercial whether we're done talking or not. That's an old piece of tape a long time
ago. Where are the pictures I was supposed to see? So someone back at WJFK is doing something with the Zephyr, which is, for lack of a better term, a digital way of us getting back. It uses wires. It's a way to get the sound, the show back to the station without using a satellite. It's supposed to be a little more reliable than satellite. You don't have a problem with the weather and junk like that.
Right. This really could have been caused by someone doing too much internet surfing or everybody downloading something all at once.
You mean at WJFK?
Which has been odd because Travis is no longer monitoring this
Hold
show.
On. Are you really? I heard you guys discussing this. Are you serious that our Zephyr line, meaning like in essence our satellite to the station that sends the show to the country with Westwood One, it gets screwed up if too many people at WJFK are online?
Only if there's something really good on YouTube are we in trouble.
No, come on.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same server at WJFK. It all goes through the same.
Whoa. You mean we rely on that?
Yes.
Wow.
That sucks ass. That's like the worst.
So if they're overloaded over there, too many people surfing, it can get screwed up?
Only if someone, what Dave said, someone's doing something they shouldn't. Because it makes allowances for
them. Hey, Dave Mitz, come in here for a second, please. We brought him by before. David Mitz. Where is he? And he's not admitting anything. His name is David, last name Mitz, because he's got him.
Dave, I will compliment you. You got yourself a new short haircut.
I sure did.
Congratulations. It looks very good.
Seriously, thanks for the headphones. They kick ass. I really appreciate it. We appreciate everything you do in our new studio. Dave, what is the problem with the dickheads at the other station? Dave?
my word.
Not yours. How is it that somebody being on the internet could at a radio station could make them not be able to get our broadcast?
Actually, I think it might have more to do with file transfer for our servers. Not really internet.
Does anybody know what that means?
Yeah, it means it's our computer. It's not an internet computer. It's basically our server that we use exclusively for broadcast lines, right? Okay.
Wow.
When you say, so the answer is it could not be screwed up by people using the internet over at the other radio.
Right, that's highly unlikely.
Highly irregular.
Well,
go on.
I misunderstood. I thought that's what he told me. I don't do.
My theory is that it's screwed up because you came in and adjusted his microphone. What do you think about that?
Don't think that's it.
No? Okay.
Most likely there's just a connection problem with the Zephyrs. We have lock lights here, so I just want to...
Well, Rob, who told you the thing about the internet?
Didn't you say that someone's downloading something they shouldn't at the station?
Transferring files somewhere they shouldn't.
Okay, so I misunderstood because I'm not a computer engineer.
So with that incredibly detailed analysis of the problem, the problem has not necessarily been addressed yet, then. Because we're not really sure.
It could happen again.
As soon as I get a call back, I'll let you know.
And we haven't gotten a call back from Fairfax.
It's from any of the engineers at WJFK.
But they're aware of it.
Yeah, I believe so.
You believe so? They haven't even acknowledged whether they're aware of the problem.
I happen to know the general manager. Let me give him a call. He'll love hearing from us.
Always does.
Last time that call went good.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 1.
Of course, that's how you get through to hell.
Well, you were told that the problem was at Fairfax, and there has been no acknowledgement of that, because we don't even know if the engineers know that. We don't know.
I was told a lot of stuff during the break, but it turns out it's just fairy tales.
Right.
How you doing, Rob? It's because someone's on the internet.
Someone's doing something on a computer they shouldn't.
Perhaps. Right.
Perhaps.
Hey, how about this show?
We don't even know if the engineers are aware of what's going on.
Are we on? How about this show?
Hello?
Michael Hughes.
Hi, Mike. It's Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, listen. I tell you what, Rob needs to talk to you. No, not really. We should talk to you. Rob would do an awful job of explaining this. There's some problem with our microphones today, with our Zephyr lines. We've tried to explain that to our listeners.
They say that our voices are dropping off. We've gotten calls from Sacramento along the line. We've gotten calls from Fairfax where they say that it's the microphones are clipping and they're not hearing what we're saying.
And let me see. Rob gave me a cock and bull story about how it was because someone was downloading something on the internet. And Dave Mitz thinks that it's a problem with the computers, and we can't get any engineers on the telephone, and our microphones are dropping off. And we're just calling to ask you, because you're the general manager, what should we do?
And you're calling me for a technical explanation?
Well, I'm calling you because we can't seem to reach anybody at radio station WJFK.
So the reason you're getting the call is because we're requesting you use that giant general manager's iron boot of yours to see if somebody can maybe pay attention to the problem.
Let me make a telephone call.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Hey, okay. Good talking to you.
You.
See you at the Christmas party.
He's gone already. He's gone already.
He's gone.
Teammate. Oh, are you still there?
Hold on, Michael.
No. was that a last one?
Oh, wait.
I don't know. I was going to give him credit for being one of the best GMs we've had as far as hanging up. You know, before the conversation's over.
That is the sweetest part of talking to him.
Right.
See you at the Christmas party.
That is the best.
That is the next time we'll see you, Zab.
Oh, and a nice greeting to Mrs. Friends who came by.
Yeah, nice to see Madonna.
I'm from Madonna.
All right, thank you, Dave Mitz. Thank you for your help. And, hey, Rob, can you see if we can get a picture of Dave Mitz up on the website?
Absolutely.
New haircut.
He's really a very competent engineer. We're very lucky to have him around.
True.
And he's got a set of boobs bigger than that chick on Will and Grace.
Never missing?
Yeah. No, the other one. The one that sounds like that.
Megan Mullally?
Yeah. Megan
Mamory.
Megan Manslaughter.
She was showing her twins last night.
Yes, she was. And you know who else was? Tina Fey last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a little TNA.
And Simon Cowell.
Oh, yeah. When they did the Dick Clark thing,
yes.
Simon Cowell came out during the Emmys last night and had his shirt a la Buzz seriously unbuttoned, five buttons.
Down to his navel.
And it looked like he had some type of glitter or something you definitely could not get on an airplane now.
Right.
Some type of gel on his chest.
Yeah, or it might have been sweat. I thought he was flop sweating.
I thought it was sweat, too. Yeah.
And he looked like, and as he went on, you saw the old Richard Nixon stuff on his upper lip. I think he was shiny.
It was over 100 degrees out there.
Was it really?
I know a lot of people probably tuned in today waiting to hear specifically me scream about Dick Clark and like make fun of him with young Dick Clark. I feel exactly the opposite. I feel sorry for Dick Clark.
Yeah.
I feel I was watching this thing last night and seeing that I happened to flip on the moment when they introduced it. So I saw it live.
Great.
Just dumb luck. I flipped by.
I did
and I
too.
Thought,
I saw it too.
I thought, you know what? Sad, man. Sad. I mean, we like goofing on people. I like goofing on people when, you know, we play that Kirk Douglas type, you know.
Spartacus.
But, you know, they're wheeling him out there to give him this jive-ass presentation because they don't know how much time he's got left. And they bring out, you know, Barry Manilow
right.
to sing for him.
That's
sad. And poor Dick Clark is doing the best that he can.
Yeah, he really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's trying to be as hip as he can be under the circumstances. I think when we made fun of him at New Year's.
The Rock and New Year's.
Didn't we all kind of have in the back of my mind that, you know, he's at the beginning of this thing and that it looks to me like maybe he's in that holding pattern.
Anyway, I found myself watching this last night. It's very rare that I do this, you know, that I find that I have a soul. You know, I'm watching this thing going, oh, man, you know what this is? They're whoring out Dick Clark.
Yeah.
And he's going along with it for the last ride. It's like, let's prop him up. And when they're giving him the standing ovation, the shots in the audience are telling because the celebrities are like eating their boogers and drinking the drinks unless they realize the camera's on them.
Yeah.
And then they all look up and go, oh, yes, he meant so much. Poor Dick Clark was trying to get through this speech. We have the tape where he's talking
about. He's gotten worse since New Year's,
It was sad. I mean, not that if you have a stroke, you should be. Well, no, listen. If you have a stroke, you shouldn't be on TV. You shouldn't be on an award show.
Probably true.
Really?
Yeah.
Please, no cripples.
Makes everyone uncomfortable.
I think you've addressed that soul question right there. That's a good thing.
However, on our website, Mike, we do have what appears to be the only nip slip last night. It's from The Office, a show that won. And the chick's name is...
Good luck.
Who knows? Anyway, here she is standing behind the people in the office, and you can't see a nip slip. That would be it for the Emmys last night.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look real close.
Yeah.
Look on the web. You'll see it.
You know what the saddest thing about Dick Clark was is not him having to talk. I thought he did a reasonably well job, and he came off real brave, but they left him up there for the song. And that was really like putting him on the spot.
Trapped, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, he can't walk that well.
And they had Barry Manilow come over and, like, stand by him. And Dick Clark, bless his heart, was trying to give those looks that he would give on, like, on Foul Up's Blue.
Right.
You know, he's the master of that phony, hey, you're
great. Hey, good, ha-ha. Yes, sir. No, come on.
It was awful.
trying to get everybody to sit down. That's the part I hate. It was like, hey, yeah.
Did you hear the very beginning, though, when Simon Cowell got booed?
Yeah,
yes, it was wonderful.
Yeah. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Simon Cowell.
Listen to all those dickwads. Listen, people wouldn't be watching TV if not for Simon Cowell.
Exactly.
All those jealous Hollywood types.
Boom!
And he loves it.
He eats it up. Yes, sure. He does.
Thank you. Thank you. The year was 1956.
All right, so then he goes on.
He's a good reader, by the way.
Matt is a dandy. Matt in chest hair.
You know, not to poke fun, just to say he should not have been out there, really. Here's Dick Clark. You know, I was thinking about this, too. He could have gone to his house, he could have gotten the tape, he could have given him like five takes to say like, thank you very much, you humble me, you know, I'm looking forward to getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you got to prop him up on his rascal.
Right.
You had to see the guy.
Yeah.
To see like everything that you make fun of.
Yeah.
You know, the face going off to one side.
Yeah, and it's the people around Dick Clark as well, or Dick Clark himself. I mean, he wants to be on television.
But his face still looks better than Warren Beatty.
Here's a little bit of him.
The Emmy people called and asked if I did a little, if I could walk out and say thanks. My wife joked to walk. He's just begun to learn to walk again. This show might run a little long.
I mean, you know what?
Right.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. That's sad for Dick Clark. And that's sad for those freaking vultures in Hollywood.
Makes me look forward to New Year's Rockin' Eve, though, again. Next year. You think he'll be out there for that?
They'll have him in a box like they had Frank Gifford on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he'll do it. I mean, he's obviously... I think he is exactly where he was in January.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Clark.
Boo! No, I'm sorry. Oh, that was for Simon.
Yeah.
The Emmy people called and asked if I did a little
God, yuck! Yeah. That's bad.
That's bad.
You know, you do that. You do that after he dies. You do the big tribute after he dies, or you do it while he's alive. But you don't bring him up there while he's in his, you know, his death machine, you know, or whatever his stroke machine is that they had him sitting in.
Stroke machine.
I think it was a podium.
There was something behind it.
I don't think
it
was a machine.
There was something
it?
Behind it, though.
Like a Christopher Reeve machine?
Right. I think it was like a Doc Ock thing from Spider-Man.
Wasn't he on a big, tall, like, drafting stool so you could roll him off and on?
No, or you actually say, you get him to say, you script it so he says, thank you very much, as opposed to having him do the, you know, the interaction and where he's got to tell people, I don't know.
Tell jokes.
It's, it could happen to anybody and it happened to him, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, screw them. So that was pretty much that was the Emmys. I was glad to see 24 won.
Yes,
we all.
Did you see the acceptance speech from Garcia?
Yep. As a matter of fact, I got it right here.
It really was. I was sitting there going, "Hey, that's our old intern," and he gets up there, and damn it, if he didn't come up with an original acceptance speech that was quick and funny.
You know, one thing you can say about me and Mike, and we tell this to anybody: we don't know anybody.
Right.
We don't know anybody famous at all. Mm-hmm. Celebrities don't like us.
Right.
But there is this cat that was an intern on our show.
Yeah, used to fetch sodas for you.
Later went on to work as an intern with Tony Kornheiser.
Right.
And now he's the guy behind My Name is Earl.
It's a big deal.
And here he is winning his Emmy Award.
For writing, I believe, right?
Greg Garcia.
And the Emmy goes to Greg Garcia, My Name is Earl pilot.
Thank you very much. I kissed from Cloris Leachman. That's nice. I don't have time to thank everybody that I should, so I thought it'd be easier if I mentioned a few people I do not want to thank. My eighth grade social studies teacher told me to sit down and shut up because I wasn't funny. No thank you, Mr. McAdoo. My boss, when I was a PA on the show Step by Step, who made me clean gum off the executive producer's shoe, no thank you, ma'am, tonight I do not share this with you.
Great little prick.
And finally, God, I'm sure you're responsible in some way, but you took my hair, and that's not cool, man. Not cool.
Great.
And since the music isn't playing, my mom and dad for supporting me, my sister Shelly, who's hilarious, my wife, who looks gorgeous tonight, and my sons, Camden and Nathan. Thank you very much.
Good job, Greg.
Good job, Greg.
Good job.
That was fun, and it caught me completely by surprise. Because, you know, he's a behind-the-scenes guy. He's a writer-producer out there, and he's done great things.
I'll tell you what's funny is that my kid called me, Bart, who has been in contact with Greg Garcia.
Right.
As I've mentioned, Greg has been nice enough to tell Bart about TV and stuff like that.
Bart's interested in film.
Absolutely. So last night, I'm watching the football game, and Bart says, Dad, turn it on right now. I think Greg Garcia is going to win the Emmy. So I turn it on, and I see him win the Emmy, and I call Bart back, and I go, hey, listen, that's great. I seriously remember when that guy used to go 7-Eleven to get Uncle Mike and I food. And
he had a lot of hair back then.
He used to go get us Chinese food and used to just do all the crap jobs that we didn't want. And then Bart said, Dad, how come he didn't thank you and Uncle Mike?
We might have been on that first list. Very possible.
I said, Bart, you're serious, right? And he said, yes, why wouldn't he? I said, why would he thank us? He went to 7-Eleven.
He got coffee.
Yeah, he went and he got coffee for us. And the more that I talked to Bart, the more by the time I hung up the phone, I really, now not with malice in my heart.
No.
But I hung up the phone thinking, like, you know what? Now, why didn't he say our name?
It occurred to me.
Really, how freaking dumb is that? Did you think of that, too?
I seriously, when
why would Greg Garcia, although everybody's got to do a reality check, myself included, why would he mention us?
Well, you know, when he started with that angle, and he got the big laugh about the social studies teacher, I was waiting for us.
Yeah.
Well, because we would have been a perfect, you know, for Don and Mike, the DJs I work with, because I'm sure we made him do horrible things.
I'm sure.
Well, that's what Bart thought as
but
well.
But maybe we didn't make him do all those horrible things.
No, that's I thought about it. We did.
Did we make him, did we ever really punish him?
Oh.
I don't think so.
I know what we did with him. We did make him go out with listeners on dates.
Yeah.
One time we made him go out with old divorcees.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he was young and he had the surfer look.
Yes, he had like the, you know, the big puffy blonde hair.
You wouldn't know it to see him now.
Right. No, because I was sitting there, I'm in bed watching it with Carl, and I go, he's really a good kid. And Carla says to me, kid?
Yeah, you know, really.
And I, you know, suddenly I feel 90 years old.
It's ironic is now he looks more like Wendy Kornheiser.
He looks like Ron Howard is what he looks like.
Yeah, he does. God, you took my hair. That's not cool.
Wow. Thanks, Earl. He's one of the biggest deals in Hollywood.
He really
right
is.
Now.
He is. But even that, Buzz couldn't keep Yes Dear on the air.
I know.
God damn it.
Thank you, Buzz, I was bummed to see, I didn't even know until last night, that one of our favorite shows, Huff, which
I didn't cancel it.
Didn't know it
That's a great show.
Oh. It's gone.
One more thing. Did you hear the T word?
Yes, three times.
The T word made it on TV last night.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of the times. We've got it beeped out.
Emmy goes to Helen Mirren, Elizabeth Brooks.
Oh, yeah, here she was naughty.
Here we go.
My great triumph is not falling off every as I came up those stairs.
So I guess that's okay. You can say that on the Emmys, and just in case that wasn't enough, here we go again.
Calista Flockhart and Greg Ferguson.
Are you all right, Calista?
Well, yes, but I did almost go ass over. What did you do?
I was hoping that you would go ass over on the way out.
Wow.
Okay.
Body.
Does it have something to do with the accent? Can you say it if you're a foreigner?
No, it's two Brits. But Calista Flockhart's not a British.
She's Irish.
But she used that's a British term.
Right.
Ass over tea.
But it was used by other people earlier.
Right.
And Mike, to be honest, that's why I'm going to FCC.com. I am going to bombard them. The vocal minority. The T word. I wish
it's all about the way they use it, you know. I mean, if Conan O'Brien came back and said, "Did you see the T's?"
No, you know what?
On that last presenter,
I bet if they got a complaint, that they would do so. NBC would get a letter about it.
You'd have to, right?
At the very least, they would. In this climate, they'd have to.
It takes a lot of letter writing. It really does.
I'm shocked that they aren't running on delay. Don't all major broadcasts operate on delay now?
I think they probably were on delay and just let it go. It was after 10:30, and they did use that word a couple of times on Hill Street Blues in that time slot.
Oh, you know what? Maybe you're right.
Ooh. I got a pinch of loaf.
Got a break, everybody.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hear the Sopranos return? As we all know, Tony and his crew found out that one of their fellow mobsters was gay. What gave it away was that whenever he was around, the crime was really organized.
He's a fag.
The Don and Mike Show.
Get ready for a comedy concussion with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, this portion of our show on Westwood One is brought to you by Ford. Visit addictedtokelly.com for all the latest Kelly Clarkson info as well as exclusive audio and a chance to win Kelly Clarkson's Mustang GT convertible. Our show today brought to you by Ford. Here is another great moment from the Emmys last night. Hold on, we got 8,000 tapes. Where is the one where 24 wins? Oh, that's a good one. Number, because didn't you in some way, like I do, feel validated?
Yeah.
That the show that we've watched and we've screamed about finally won?
I think Kiefer's been nominated, what, every year since the show's been on?
Right? To 24.
It was a really, really good moment.
We'll make this quick. I want to start by thanking Dana Walden.
Turn that off. Excuse me.
Peter Chernin.
Turn that off. Who wants to listen to that crap? Thank you. I thank you.
Hey, Devane.
I couldn't even get a job as a flipping seat filler.
Why was I broadcast to no one last night at the Emmys? This is Bill Devane.
Everybody is...
Do you understand? They're lying. It's a conspiracy. I get written off the show, and then I don't even get a goddamn invitation to sit in the auditorium. And I'm a large reason for that show's success, Jack.
You know,
I'm part of the reason that show is successful, and they completely boycott me. Tell me if you can. Tell me, if you will, why I wasn't on that stage. Why William Devane was not... Are you insane? Why wasn't William Devane acknowledged for the work that he's done? They had the big black president. He was there. And what's the deal?
And so was the Nixon president. He
it's a flipping tragedy. I'm one of the great character actors in Hollywood, and they've completely shut the door on me. It's official now. I had designs on coming back, but the fact is, I don't believe I've got a future based on the fact that those producers have completely and totally boycotted me. My reception sucks in my town, Car in the River. I say screw that fag Kiefer Sutherland and his fag father, too.
Hold on, hold on.
Runs in the family. Put a macho man in the star. Don't tell me to go easy.
And the end goes to Kiefer Sutherland.
Boo! Boo! Shame.
Nice evening, Mr.
Shame on you, Sutherland.
My father's sitting right over there.
Yeah, his father, his gay dad. Probably put his hands on some small boy.
You're going to have dinner now.
Son of a bitch. Boo! Acknowledge me. Let's hear it. Does he mention Devane? One of the great actors of all time.
You are given too much.
Too much, yeah. You've given too much.
That evening.
Watch this.
This experience that has been 24 has been nothing.
It'll be over before it starts.
Yeah, he's not going to mention it.
The Emmys have hated me since 1986 when I put six statues in my yap. Yeah, it was a parlor game.
Hey, hold on.
Aaron Spelling, God rest his skinny, bony soul. And he loved that gag.
How come you were not in the tribute to Aaron Spelling?
Good question. Leave Bill Devane at home sitting in his cardigan sweater, just sitting there watching golf reruns while you get Farrah drug addict up on stage just because she's a Charlie's Angel. The whole company sucks. I'll tell you, I'm damn upset. Are you insane?
Fantastic writers.
Yeah, fantastic character actors. Mentors.
Everybody at Fox. The relationship that we've had has been unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Dana
Walden. It's unbelievable.
Peter
LaBorie, they boycotted
Gary
Bill DeVane.
Everybody there. Your support has been incredible.
To Jack,
the academy,
listen to
your
me.
Your support over the
Jack,
last 5 years.
Jack, pay attention to me for the love of God. Acknowledge your peers and your superiors and your elders.
And I can't thank you for your patience.
I'm so upset. Pretty soon I'll be slurring like Dick Clark.
Sarah, do
Sarah, who?
Thank you very much.
Oh, no! That's BS, Jack. That's BS. Get your ass back on that stage. Get to the podium and thank William Devane. And my teeth. My teeth have more Hollywood credibility than your whole cigarette chain-smoking body, Jack.
I think...
I'm furious and I'm upset. It's a combination. It's not all that good.
I think it's a lock that you're not coming back.
I think it's a lock, too. I think Hollywood has officially snubbed me. What was it? My work on Knots Landing, not satisfactory, Jack? What is the deal? Why is Bill Devane being boycotted? I've always delivered. I've delivered in every movie and every television show that I've ever gotten a script for.
You're always great as a Kennedy.
I've been a wonderful Kennedy. I played the main man, Jack Kennedy. But what do? They put me in that show, 24, to boost the ratings, and then they send me off a cliff into a river.
30 seconds.
It's crap, in my humble opinion.
We got a break here so we get to Buzzes and News. Put that guy on hold. Okay, we have on the phone now, from California, Kiefer Sutherland.
Wow. For you.
Oh, really?
Hello?
Yes, Kiefer.
Hello, how you doing, guys?
This isn't Kiefer Sutherland. Who is this?
This is the Kiefer.
Is that challenged boy that calls your show?
Yes, it is.
That's a silly and tasteless joke.
He's really
I'm
retarded.
Not buying it. I gotta mobilize the Devaniacs. That's what I gotta do.
What?
Come on now, are you a fan of William Devane? Young man, can you understand me?
Yes, I can.
This is William Devane. Can you talk in a voice without using that annoying and aggravating falsetto?
No. This is my regular voice.
Well, then answer in your whatever voice you choose. Are you a fan of William Devane?
No, I'm a fan of Dynamite.
He's not even registering my questions. He's not able to process. This is a silly exercise, and he's not really paying even attention. He probably has the attention span of a small insect.
Yeah.
Not fair.
All right, well, listen, Bill, I'm
this
sorry.
Hey, wait a minute.
This lowers even you, source. You're going down to Jack Bauer's level. Listen to this. You've got a village idiot on there, and you're talking to one of the Hollywood greats of all time. Very, very annoying and very aggravating. So I suppose you're boycotting me, too.
Yeah, who am I talking to?
Who is this?
This is Charlie.
No, who is this really?
He's
not able to even handle a lucid conversation, and I'm talking about the fact that Hollywood has turned their back on one of the great actors of all time.
Hey, Don.
Yes, Tom.
It's me, man.
Tom, what's his name? What's this fellow's name?
Thomas Gavin.
Thomas Gavin. You know who you're speaking to, son?
Who am I talking to?
You're talking to William Devane.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Who are you talking to, Tom?
What?
Who are you talking to?
That's Mike.
It is not.
What?
It is not.
Goodbye?
Absolutely.
And?
Goodbye.
It's Tim.
Tom. Oh, you figured out the great riddle. The great riddle of the Don and Mike show has suddenly been solved.
Is Mike talking like him?
I guarantee my teeth are better than yours, son.
No.
Mike talking like him.
No.
I'm a modern-day Gary Cooper.
Sorry you did not win the Emmy. Buzz,
yes.
News is coming up. Tom, take us to the promised land.
Hey, Don and Mike, go to break and
buzz. Number 4, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show. It's Don and Mike on the Pike. This Wednesday at 8 p.m., Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a breast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno Style Show. Hooters and Rockville. That's how I roll.
We'll see you there on Wednesday night.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Like 15 inches of strap-on comedy. The Don and Mike Show.
Packers are on tonight. Hi, Dad.
You're a happy man.
Third game of the year. The one that really matters. Third exhibition game. And I've got my lucky socks on. Congratulations to the Dan Snyders.
Yeah. Another fine performance. Maybe a little less time paying attention to your little radio empire, a little more time paying attention to that football game.
I couldn't help but notice during the TV broadcast, because no one can think of the radio broadcast of the Redskins here in D.C.
Sadly.
That John Riggins was virtually doing the entire show, promoting his radio show. The entire game was like 8,000 times that Dick mentioned he's got a radio show.
And I'm really shocked that none of you took me up on the bet I offered you on Friday after the show. I give you the Redskins and 42.
So anyway, Green Bay on tonight. That's good.
I think they got a chance to score. I think they got a serious chance to score real soon. I think it's
important. Matters, kind of. Go to YouTube because we've started our contest now for the homemade commercial.
Right.
And there are at least 2 of them up now.
Oh, good.
On YouTube.
Good.
I will talk more about this tomorrow. Robert the Mailman is coming in tomorrow. That's not a threat. It's a promise.
He'll be here.
Also, a warning. He is bringing us gifts from the Dominican Republic.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, I can't wait. He got out just in time. That storm is just hitting the Dominican today.
Any shrunken heads going to be included in that?
Oh,
I'm sure.
And speaking of, Rob had the pleasure of speaking to Janet a moment ago.
Yeah.
Didn't even need a telephone. You didn't even need a telephone.
Right. I could hear her over here.
Had to open the window. Her sister-in-law is actually emailing her a picture of the shrunken head that I saw over the weekend.
Very good.
So we'll have that up on our website as well. Have we covered everything? I think so. YouTube, I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
We got the big party Wednesday night. You heard the ad for that. Mm-hmm. Buzz's News tonight is brought to you by Ford Bold Moves. And now here is Guy Burton.
Hi, Donna, Mike. In case you missed it earlier, all charges have been dropped against JonBenet suspect Jean-Marc Carr. The DNA sample from Carr does not match the DNA found in the victim's underwear, so champagne well spent. Fortunately, the revelation...
I told you.
Fortunately, the revelation came just before Carr was to have made his first court appearance today. He is in police custody and will be held...
How about...
For extradition to California.
Yeah. I'm thinking about this. When I was watching the news last night,
mm-hmm.
there was a guy on TV from Boulder, real fat guy, with a real bad shirt. You shouldn't be interviewed if you're a fat guy wearing a shirt like this on TV.
Mm.
And what he was saying was that he was relatively sure that 10 years ago he had seen the guy around the Ramsey house.
Mm-hmm.
He could not be 1,000% sure,
right,
but he was relatively sure. And they went with this like as
breaking news.
As
right.
Breaking news.
Right.
And so they set this whole clip up. They go, an eyewitness. We will have this exclusive news. And the guy says, you know, I couldn't tell you 1,000%. It was 10 years ago.
The best thing about this, the hype machine will now go away. What will they be on next? What will they latch on to next?
Oh, I think you know. The parents.
I mean,
it'll go back now to the dad, because the mom is dead,
right?
So it'll go back to the dad again.
Mm-hmm. They'll squeeze the last drops out of this to be sure. In the meantime, Carr's in police custody. He'll be held for extradition to California. He was briefly released this afternoon, but then rearrested. He'll be held for extradition to Sonoma County on misdemeanor child pornography charges.
Well, and he did some crap over in Thailand, too. That's where they ought to ship him.
Cars.
Back.
That's right. Cars. All about cars. Cars, 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 cars. Here's Rob.
There was speculation that maybe one of the reasons he turned himself in was to get out of Thailand, where he faced a really vicious prosecution. To have some champagne with us.
You know, that to me is still the most plausible theory. Because I guess the profiles of this guy, not really a dummy. He's a psycho, but he's not a dummy.
Yeah.
Probably doing this to get out of Thailand. I say ship him back there.
So
especially if he was a bad guy over there.
Right. Especially tomorrow morning on all the morning shows.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of them will step up in any form,
no,
say, hey, you know what? I guess we led you down a primrose path that we all were jumping to, ahead of things.
They'll probably
here.
Do some, a little self-analysis there. They probably will, but they did it. It's done. They really can't say anything.
But cable news has 24 hours to fill, 7 days a week, and I don't think they'll be apologizing.
You know what we're going to have?
What they do.
I'll tell you what we're going to have. We're going to have more Katrina. And nothing pisses me off more because with the Katrina...
Oh, tomorrow's the one-year anniversary.
Yeah, meanwhile, we've got it's not as bad a storm, at least not right now, but you've got the other... You know, pay attention to the storm that's down there, that's down in Cuba.
Ernesto. By the way, people who lost people on that flight that went off the runway yesterday probably decided to watch the Emmy Awards last night, to take their mind off things. Probably helps to see rich people congratulate themselves. And there on TV was that insensitive bastard Conan O'Brien doing a parody of various TV shows, including Lost, which is based on a fictional plane crash.
You
can imagine the outrage that followed.
Look, I guarantee you there was a production meeting before the show to make that call.
Right.
I guarantee somebody made that call. It's a parody. It's like, Castaway or Lost, whatever.
Pretty far removed.
Yeah.
You know what I did... I did see, I don't know what station it was on. It was on an NBC station.
Mm-hmm.
When they were describing the plane crash,
right?
The woman said, and she's the newscaster.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she comes and says, bad news from Kentucky. 49 souls have perished. Now, don't you just say, 49 people have died?
Well, they used that, in the days of the Titanic. That's the way they used to speak in the old days.
She was on Action News 7.
I think it's some sort of jargon that's used... In airline speak, how many souls aboard or something like that. But I mean, it seems to be Titanic-like.
Well, Channel 18 in Lexington, Kentucky, where the real plane crash occurred, is, of course, speaking for all its viewers when it says no apology from NBC can make up for this insensitivity. Station management's asking, how hard would it have been to replace a segment that took several days to shoot?
Seriously, though. Who lost somebody on that plane that's sitting down last night watching the Emmy Awards?
Point. That's my point.
You know what the Emmys need to apologize for?
What?
How did Kevin James get nominated?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And he was in an amazing category with some really great actors.
Yeah.
Some kind of Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
Clara Galera.
How about that scene? They had Charlie Sheen and his father up there, and it just died.
God.
A little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The thing is, I guess there's not many sitcoms on, and you got to fill those slots, man.
Right, right.
It was like they go to Kevin.
James, what's good?
Mrs. James.
Oh, you mean
the real Mrs. James.
Right.
That's that hot chick that he met in Las Vegas.
That's right.
She was interviewed by Billy Bush. How's it going?
In the real world, meanwhile, the investigation continues into how and why a commuter jet did try to take off on a too-short runway. The jet crashed into some trees at the end of the runway, burst into flames, and, in fact, killed 49 people. Only a co-pilot survived. He's in critical condition. The crash occurred in darkness just before daybreak on a drizzly morning. It's the worst crash in this country in nearly 5 years, ending what's been called the safest period in U.S. aviation history. Maybe you remember air service being disrupted recently in Los Angeles because the control tower had a power failure. You've definitely heard of the shutdown of an Alaskan oil pipeline because it sprang a leak, and of course, the levees crumbling in New Orleans. More than one in four bridges in this country is obsolete. The point is, America's falling apart at the seams. The wheels are literally coming off. Engineers say we need a visit from Emmett the Fix-It Man. It's going to cost over $1.5 trillion.
President Bush?
Fancy dicks you got here.
He disagrees, Buzz.
Thanks, yeah, Deb. Always does. All these breakdowns, of course, not only cost us time and money, but safety as well. One Washington analyst says the breakdowns are as big a threat or bigger than any other threat to Homeland Security. These threats, however, can be removed with a bitchin' set of tools.
You know, I am confused about New Orleans in particular.
Right.
That I was reading today that the Army Corps of Engineers say that the wall that's been built, the new levee that's been built, will withstand maybe a Category 3.
Right.
But then, last night on 60 Minutes, I was watching the TiVo with that this morning. That the mayor, Ray Nagin, I think the guy's got a set of balls on him like nobody.
I find it difficult not to like Ray Nagin. Yeah. I really do.
And they have him. He was being interviewed by the wall, and he said, by where the new...
Oh, next to the wall. He wasn't being interviewed by
Steve
the Croft, wall.
Steve Croft, I think, was interviewing him. The wall was not talking.
No, it was like Pee Wee's Playhouse.
I was with you for a minute.
No, the wall was talking.
We're going to give way, Pee Wee.
It was crazy, man. It was a psychedelic time. he said, look at me. He said, we built these things. These are made out of concrete now. We have done something in New Orleans, but on the other hand, they go to neighborhoods where you see houses that are still in tatters and you see cars that are turned upside down. And the reporter said, when are you going to clean this up? And the mayor said, I don't mean to laugh. This is cleaned up.
This is better than it was.
Yeah.
You can drive a car on this street now.
Right. That's exactly what he said. Guy's got some balls.
And the levee that they rebuilt, I guess one of the biggest problems was the water coming over the wall and then digging out the foundation. They say that they have figured out. When he showed you that levee, I thought, well, what about when the water comes over that little concrete area you have right beneath and it digs that out? What's going to happen then?
Well, he said that concrete area underneath then would not buckle.
It would hold up. But it's still weird.
All I know is, talk about a thankless job.
Yeah.
Really, the guy who's and he just ran to be mayor of New Orleans again and just won again.
Right.
More importantly, when are we going to legalize hemp? That when we return.
All right, more news is important to Buzz. When we come to
number four, Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Come, watch them stem the rose. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, this new segment with Buzz brought to you by Hooters. The season led Hooters for a little fantasy in your football. How's your fantasy football draft party at Hooters? We're having our draft on Wednesday, live on the show. Don and Mike Fantasy League draft.
Yeah, I got it.
There's Mike with his Cheat Sheet magazine.
This magazine will result in my victory in the Super Bowl in our fantasy league.
Right. You feel that strongly about Phil Steele?
I like Phil Steele. He's a man of steel. I like him as much as Remington Steele.
It says Phil Steele's fantasy football.
And you can take your click and win post-it note and put it where the Rob's shine sunshine does.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Are you ready for the draft on Wednesday, Buzz?
I'll have to check with my people.
See you in the Super Bowl, Mike.
Oh, is your neighbor helping you out again?
With any luck at all, yes.
Man, this is so good. This is so much a better one than I've ever had.
Somewhere along the road, hemp got a bad name. We're not talking marijuana. We're talking hemp. It's impotent cousin.
Like Woody Harrelson stuff.
Right. Hemp won't get you high, just as poppy seeds on a bagel won't make you an opium junkie.
Right.
But hemp makes most excellent ropes, ointments, clothing, energy bars, and hundreds of other products. It's rich in cholesterol-fighting omegas. And growing it is mostly illegal, a federal offense. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a bill on his desk right now that would change that.
I don't like the hemp.
Seven other states have already legalized the growing of hemp, but here's the difference. The other states asked for permission from Uncle Sam's Drug Enforcement Agency.
He was still my favorite stooge.
Hemp, no, shemp. California, which is already ignoring the ban. California's already ignoring the ban on medical marijuana. It's planning on bucking the feds on this one, too.
You don't have three stooges without Shemp. You really don't. I mean, just to, speaking historically, you really don't have the stooges without Shemp.
No, no. Historically, three stooges. Larry, no, Curly.
That's right.
Beginning, middle, end.
I have never disagreed that Curly was the best stooge.
Hold on. Not the four stooges.
After Curly had his
five
stooges, you needed Shemp.
Shemp sucks.
Keep hope alive.
Shemp sucks.
I didn't mean to start this argument.
Mm-hmm.
The police chase isn't over.
He brought so much.
He did.
Shemp brought so much, please.
He was
Shemp
a Howard.
Shemp was a tool.
He was a Howard brother, unlike a little man called Larry Fine.
Oh, you're telling me now that you take Shemp over Larry? If the original Three Stooges was Larry, Curly, or hold on, Moe, Curly, and Shemp.
You had many episodes with didn't you?
No, Larry was never gone. Larry was always there.
Yeah, you're right. You're
it was
right
only
that.
Curly that was replaced.
Can you give me this? That at least Shemp was the best replacement.
Yeah.
After, before Curly Joe DeRita and gay Joe Besser.
Yeah, that, you know what that's like saying? Mike, will you admit that Mark Brunell is the best quarterback the Redskins have had since Mark Rippon played?
Yes, I will.
Then I'll agree with you as well.
Thank you, Don.
The police chase isn't over until the crack runs out. Our story when we return.
Okay.
Crack. All drugs with you, Burbank.
Crack.
All the time.
Be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
On by.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Where did it go?
The enemies of whatnot. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Now here's Guy Birdley. Hi there, boys.
Hi, Don and Mike. Finally, crooks are stupid. Just north of Miami, police engaged in a high-speed chase.
You make these up, Buzz?
No, it's a true story, Don.
All right.
It all started when they spotted this guy driving his SUV around in circles over and over for about, 20 minutes. The chase continued for quite a while as the perp led cops through neighborhoods and through stop signs. And then at one point, he just pulled over for no apparent reason.
Oh, you're high as a kite.
There was a reason. Yeah, but what's it got to do with this? There was a reason the high-speed chase lasted as long as it did. The guy told cops he was always going to surrender. He just wanted to finish his beer and crack.
High-speed chase.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Did you write it like that?
High?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Perhaps I've said too much.
I thought you were doing a pun there, and you were actually doing a piss test for us. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode, everybody.
Works fine.
Good day to you, sir.
Go Pack, go.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
All right, go on.
He makes the best brownies.
Anasaba cones.
I've had a million of them.
We will see you camping.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.